Oh. Hi, I'm Joshua the 14th.
I'm Saturday the Matt.
I would turn my phone off.
I would have accepted the Matt Squad as well.
Oh, damn it. That would have been way cooler.
Yeah. Maybe I should just write these ahead of time and put them on the list for you.
I would thoroughly refuse to read them.
Yeah, well, you
my part of the list
you never
easy.
Learned.
My part of the list would be easy as hell.
Yeah, you would just be the blank
You just don't write it.
It would be a little script. Adam, colon, sullen silence.
Mm-mm.
And coming to you...
Exclamatory silence.
Oh, exclamatory... Ejaculatory silence.
Expository mm-hmm. silence? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Suppository silence.
All. It's all of those things.
Supposed silence.
The silence of the anus. Are the butts still screaming, Clarice? So, coming to you live from the Boner Cemetery, it's Horror Show Hot Dog. Silence. Somewhere a dog barks. Somewhere a dog barks again. I'm sure that they can hear this on the recording.
Yeah, very, very faintly, usually.
Ah, it's a beautiful sound. You know what? That's the sound of somebody losing his concentration. So this week was all about kind of tween horror from the 80s, I suppose?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
No.
No.
Gremlins is 91.
And early 90s.
There we go.
Nice asterisk.
It's got John Glover in it. It's
I love John Glover.
You've got John Glover in you. We're not just saying you're from the 80s now, are we?
There's a little John Glover in all of us.
That was a really bad night for all three of us.
Yeah, we're like, oh, man, I love your work. You were great in Gremlins 2. And what are you doing?
Ah, back alley proctology.
It's just like, why are you doing this?
Lionel Luther, why?
he's like, there, Doc?
Does that need to be a why? I'm like, I suppose not. But anyway, we were doing, started with Gremlins 2, the new batch, or Duendecillos 2, el nuevo lote.
What's the word for gremlin?
Duendecillo.
Huh.
Little dwarf, actually.
Really?
Yeah, duende is dwarf, and Duendecillo, a dwarfier dwarf.
Dwarfier dwarf.
I suppose you could just go for, like, gremlinos, but who's going to, that's not going to win you any awards.
Spanish.
We're going to win some awards.
I'd go for gremlinos. That sounds good right about now, some gremlinos.
They deliver, yeah. let me get a medium gremlino with pepperoni.
Yeah, but you want to get it on a toasted bun always, because it's just a cold gremlino.
I always get pasta from gremlinos. I never get the sandwiches.
Oh, their ziti, I've heard, is good. I've never
it's
tried
all right.
it. But
a little too much red pepper. I want to talk about what's going on at this table.
As you can tell, we love these movies so much. Today is going to be the day where we just decide to follow everyone's jokes.
Yep, pretty much.
So there's a friendly atmosphere in the room, which will stop when we hit Saturday the 14th.
Yes,
but
it will.
We're not there yet.
Yeah. I fucking love Gremlins 2, and I was watching it last night, and I was texting and chatting, and everyone wanted to get a hold of me, apparently, as soon as I started watching this
were
movie.
Were you on Zeusk?
Yeah, we'll say sure. Yeah. But, most of the people I talked to were like, oh, I've never seen that one. I like the first one, though. I'm like, you need to see the second one. And they're like, is it as campy as the first? I'm like, oh
is it?
Fuck you, watch it. It's like, that's all I have to say to you.
And basically, the thing that I'd be like, oh, no, it's super campy. It's really meta. And Hulk Hogan shows up. And without fail, everyone went, yes.
Yep, my note for that part is subsequently where I stopped taking notes because I don't even know why I would take notes on this movie.
I didn't even bother on this
But
one.
I did. My last note is Hulk motherfucking Hogan. It's just, that part is great. And, I mean, he gets to cut a sweet steel cage style promo in there.
Yeah, he gets to cut a total promo on him. Yeah, that's pretty
It was
delightful.
Great in the... I actually watched this in the theater and can remember seeing it. And it was in a theater where the film regularly broke like that.
Sure.
Because it was a shitty Prescott theater, you know, tiny town. So when that happened, we were just like, oh, it's that thing again that ruins our summer.
Right.
And then suddenly all this other shit starts happening.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
The return of the summer ruiners.
That's the sequel to Spring Breakers. They've completely broken spring. What are they going to do next? The third one is just Winter Fuckers.
You know, there's some of the... I love the Chuck Jones intro and credits.
I completely forgotten about that.
I've always liked that. It's so out of place, and it's just very clear, like, Warner Bros. Is like, we own a lot of shit.
Right.
We own so much shit, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
It does, I think, set the tone properly, though. Because you're like, what the fuck is... Oh, this is fucking weird.
And, like,
and then the movie's like, oh, yeah, you think that's weird? Just wait.
Gremlins 2. Couple of things that I picked up on this viewing that I hadn't seen in a long time, or, well, I had never really realized, but... when the old man groans at the racism.
Uh-huh.
That part I thought was like, wow, that's that's an incredible joke.
Yeah.
Or just like, the clamp, like Chinatown Center, where business gets oriented, and he's just like, and it's just like, that right there in a nutshell sums up who Daniel Clamp is as a person.
Right. Yeah.
Just, he's the guy who's like, that's a great name. Orientals. They don't hate that name, right? And just like, Clamp, shut the fuck up, man. Yeah.
But it was interesting watching this. Like, the first time I watched it, I had no idea what he was trying to be. And then the second time, I was aware of Donald Trump. So like, oh, I see. He's the Trump guy. But then, like, now that I know who Ted Turner is, like, oh, he's colorizing everything. He's this kind of weird billionaire. He's vaguely racist, completely clueless. That's cool. It's like the Donald Trump-Ted Turner mashup.
Yeah. Which I think he plays really, really well. Like, he's a little smarmy in that video, but as soon as you see him in person, he's just... He lucked into his fortune because nothing they do works.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's made a billion things. He's just got, like, a really good marketing team. Because apparently their shit's super successful, all of it's a bad idea, and rarely does any of it work. But somehow he's, like, failed his way to the top.
Well, that's definitely Trump part.
Yeah, so it makes him pretty lovable, even from the beginning. Like, when he first runs into Billy, and it's all about his concept design.
Gotta get rid of those oaks that people think... They think Dutch.
They think disease. Yeah. It's like, they don't think Dutch elm disease. They think of the Dutch, and that makes them think of disease. So... A little odd.
I also like that we get the holodeck doctor from Voyager.
Yeah.
Robert Picardo with hair. It may not be his hair, but it's an awesome, like, bitchin' 80s perm.
It's pretty sweet.
Coffee cups that say, world's greatest lover.
Yeah.
Ashtrays that say, rest your butt here. And it's like, that won't matter because in, like, 5 years, you won't be able to smoke in any building ever.
That is something that is still jarring to see in movies when someone is indoors and has a cigarette. I'm like, oh, it was a simpler, happier time.
Like, occasionally somebody kind of winces back when the smoking is happening, but it's not like...
But no one's appalled.
Holy shit, I'm going to die right now if I don't get away from this.
The one of the other things, speaking of shit you caught this time, like, in addition to the old man, like, catching the Oriental joke... Once you get to Christopher Lee's genetics lab, when the twins are, he's like, hey, Martin, blah, 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 Lewis, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, shit, they named the twins Martin and Lewis.
Yep.
Like, that's delightful. And then when their monkeys get out, it's Theodore and Alvin.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, also a good little thing that I don't think I'd caught when I was younger and seeing this.
Like, the dumb gremlin with the buck teeth is Lenny, and the kind of sour puss one is George.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, so they're like the Mice and Men guys, and the crazy one is just Daffy.
Gremlins. Is that just in the credits?
It's just in the script,
Okay, cool.
Because how would you know?
Well, exactly. I didn't know if at some point, like, the one that talks mentioned him by name or something.
No, Brain. Yeah. That's what that one's called. But there's a great extra moment right after Old Man Curiosity Shop turns down the offer. Holodeck Doctor walks outside, and Rando McGlasses goes, I'm sorry the offer didn't work out, sir. I thought it was most generous. Thanks, Pete Extra World. Yeah, thank you for that little bit of completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Congrats on your SAG card, I guess.
Yeah, like, thanks, Bob Dante and Joe Dante.
Yeah, just like, they're like, oh, cool. So what you're saying is that we don't know what the offer is, but it was a very generous
it
one
was
at that.
Very generous. Yeah, because I believe that nowhere in the video does he even mention a number. He just says does he double it or something?
Yeah, it was just like, and please keep the television.
Yeah. And then, of course, Gizmo just like, Rambo. Which he apparently knows already, because the second he turns around, he's like, Rambo! And you're like, okay, so clearly he's been watching television somewhere, despite this old man not...
Maybe he watched it at Billy's house over that Christmas.
That could be, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Gizmo is super talkative in this one. I don't remember him making as much noise in the first one.
Yeah, even the gremlins, too.
I feel like there's a lot more just, like, interstitial jibber-jabber and
Gizmo
whatever.
Is one of the greatest things I've ever seen on screen, period. That little animatronic doll thing conveys so much emotion. It's one of my favorite things to watch on TV.
It is really well done.
Watching him when he's like, when they do the really bad VFX where he's walking down the street, I still love that. And when it's like,
when he's dancing?
Yeah, and he tries to run off the table, like, all that stuff, and then when they show his face and he's sad and his ears go down and he's super
happy.
He's
really expressive when he's legit
when he's like
puppet.
And when he's doing his, like, little cat hand kneading thing that he does. Like, everything about him is just so fucking rad.
Yeah,
like that character, it's It's easy to understand why the merchandising works so fucking
well. Oh my god, because I would have killed to get a Mogwai as a kid. Would have killed someone to have one of those in my house.
And then subsequently why Furby's fucking sold.
Yeah, the problem is they inbred Gizmo for like 20 generations and that turned into a Furby.
You end up with somewhere between Lenny and Gizmo and that's a Furby.
I like that when they're on the Clamp tour, when they're walking by, you guys know how much I love just random bits of dialogue in the background. One of my favorite things in the whole world. One of my favorite parts of things. It's like, Daniel Clamp is like, he's a billionaire, he's like a construction magnate, and of course he has a very popular line of jams and jellies.
Yeah. That line makes me so happy.
Like, yes, of course, why wouldn't he have
that? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
why wouldn't he have that?
Yeah, that's pretty fucking delightful.
Also, like, some very serious shit when Grandpa Monster is, or Munster's on there. He's talking about, like, people who are watching these movies at 3:30 in the morning aren't afraid of the Wolfman. The only thing they're afraid of is getting sober and finding work. Holy shit! That is a fucking heavy line for a movie targeted directly at children.
It was pretty badass.
Like, I didn't remember that being, like, it's like, now that I'm grown, like, that is one hell of a line.
Correct me if I'm wrong, is the janitor that's trying to fix the water fountain that gets Gizmo wet, is that Gomez?
Yeah.
It is. Okay, cool. I was like, holy shit, that's Gomez, right? And I was like, yeah, all right, cool. What was the other? There was some other bit early on that I loved. Oh, when the little evil Mogwai first come out, there's a line that I've always enjoyed that I thought was in the first Gremlins, but it's when the Stripe, well, isn't it Stripe in the first one, right? Whatever they call the Mohawked one in this one. But when he, like, crawls out of there and they all kind of, like, start ominously, like, looming towards Gizmo, and does that, Gizmo, and I thought that was in the first one, but that's always been my favorite evil gremlin line. And I swore that was from Stripe in the first one. But maybe it's from this one. I might have just conflated those in my
head.
All
I know is that, like, the Stripe in this one seems like he's just the reincarnated version of Stripe from the first one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too.
It's because, like, he pops out, and Gizmo is visibly afraid. Because, one, he obviously knew.
He knows they're always
But then
bad.
It's like, he's also, like, he pops out, and the garbage moves away, and he's like, Gizmo.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, shit,
let's talk gremlin physiology for a second here. Because, like, of course, there's all the problems with the rules, and, like, when is it no longer after midnight and the next day or whatever. But they seem to spring fully formed, not just with, like, the ability to move and reason and shit, but also, like, with the ability of, like, they know how shit works.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think, to go comic book on you guys here, I feel like they're also kind of like Multiple Man from X-Factor. Mm. That when they're created, they have the previous knowledge set that Gizmo had.
That makes sense.
So, you know, they know everything
but
that
they're
Gizmo
like somehow
knows.
Imperfect, so they're uniformly shitty.
Yeah. I mean, they're not as good as the original.
Yeah.
But I could buy the imperfect clone thing.
They are also, but they're also part Popple, which I know is probably...
I'm with you.
I thought Popples were the shit when I was little.
My sister had a couple of those.
I was just like, what? It turns into like a little fucking stuffed animal ball that you can zip up? I need at least 50 of those.
Why? I just was.
This commercial said I gotta have them. And that right there is like how Pokemon and everything else works now. It's just like, let's look at all the shitty toys that worked. We just convinced them they needed all of them.
Yeah. Just light up.
Convince them with everything now. Yeah. Every single thing, they need all of them.
All cartoons are now commercials.
Which is different than how they were in the 80s.
Right. Well, no, I think that's when that started.
I think the thing, though, is like, cartoons now,
I think they're
commercials, but they're commercials for video games and other animated versions of that same thing. It's not like physical objects anymore. They're like digital items. When we were kids in the 80s, it was like Transformers was a giant commercial to buy physical plastic objects with sharp corners.
Yeah, just like He-Man or G.I. Joe or whatever. Man, I miss metal Transformers. When you could like huck them at someone and actually dent the wall. Like, that was a good time.
The Toys R Us, I would never buy this, but I would think about buying it and then come to my senses. They released a $120 version of Soundwave. That's the Master Collection. I guess that's like the biggest, baddest, freshest Transformers. He's like a foot tall and like foot tall. He has all five cassettes. He has Megatron as a gun and an Energon cube.
Nice.
And he's like, when he's a boombox, he's about this big.
It's like a clock radio size.
Right.
Yeah. And then they also released, I guess, a Metroplex action figure. He's the big one that all the Autobots rode in. He's kind of like Space Train, but for the Autobots.
Okay, I remember Space Train.
But the toy is 2 feet tall.
Nice. That's the
here's my problem. Like, I like Transformers just as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really give a shit about any of the media around them, but like, so I went looking.
Except for Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon,
of course, which was excellent.
Impressed with.
Yeah.
The 3D compositing in that was my favorite part. But the, so I went to look at the new toys, and they don't transform. Because they want to them to look exactly like the ones on the shitty CG show that's running now.
Oh, so they don't have the ability to physically...
Yeah, like an action figure with 2 points of articulation, and then you buy the truck separately.
Oh, that sucks.
And I'm like, but they're Transformers.
That was kind of the
I was like, if Popples didn't Popple. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the fucking name.
It's like the exact opposite of more than meets the eye. It's kind of like what you see is what
exactly
you get.
Exactly what meets the eye would not have been.
Transformers, what you see is what you get. What?
It's the new Transformers observable reality line. It's like
shut
in a truck. Looks like a
kid.
Truck.
When does it transform?
It doesn't.
I mean, the lift gate goes down. I mean, how's that?
Or you can press a button on top and the headlights come
on. Yeah, you can take the topper off, I guess.
You can take the topper off. That was the shittiest Transformer. It was like the your truck or the Nissan Frontier with the extended cab, though.
What's that Transformer's name? Your uncle's truck. Weird.
Is this just a Hot Wheels? We're just repurposing Hot Wheels now.
This is Molesto, your uncle's truck. Sorry. I regret that deeply.
Oh, I don't. I very clearly think that's hilarious.
But every year when we would go to Comic-Con, it would be like, I want a classic Transformer, like from my youth that I sold at a yard sale for $5, like a retard.
Yeah.
But they're like $80 now.
Oh, sure.
The ones that are just in plastic bags are $80 now.
Toys don't survive childhood, especially boys' toys. I mean, all my G.I. Joe guys ended up getting golfed off of a roof. Oh, I'm done with these. Let's tuck their toes under the shingles and just whack them with nine irons.
If you guys ever... Well, you met my brother. You know, if you met my brother, next time you speak to Alex, ask him about the apocalypse incident.
Mm.
There was the Christmas edition of, like, the X-Men toy line that came on around the animated series?
Yep, I had some of those.
And the big apocalypse that came out with the interchangeable arms, with, like, the clamp and, like, the regular arms. My mom, being the greatest mom in the world, went to like 10 Toys R Us's and fucking found one and got one for me for Christmas. And got to open it up Christmas Day, playing with it, fucking have him slam Wolverine around. And then my mom goes, well, Alex wants to take a look at it. Let him look at it. I'm like, no. And then she's like, let your brother see it. And within seconds, he takes the arms and goes, krick, and goes vertical with him and snaps the poles off, like the posts off in the arm. And I have never forgiven him. Like, it's just like, literally, we were at a family function, like, last Saturday, and my mom was like, yeah, I remember that one Christmas when you got really mad at Alex about that toy and how that was really funny now? I'm like, that's never been funny, and that's never will be funny, and I will forever remember what you did that Christmas morning, Alex. It'd be like, hey, you won the $200 million lottery, but you only get to keep $4. But they let me spend a whole morning being like, I'm going to buy this, and buy this, and buy this. And they're like, they joker it. They just burn the fucking thing. And all that's left is like four singed dollars. Like, sick. Quiznos, I guess?
Gremlinos?
Yeah, Gremlinos. But
when he makes his way in the world, if he goes on eBay and gets you a like mint and box one, then will that debt be repaid?
Yeah, I went on my new favorite fucking website in the world is shopgoodwill.com.
Ooh.
It's the eBay version of Goodwill where they apparently, I've learned about this from a buddy of mine who's a rapper whose dad is one of like the heads of the Goodwill like trust or whatever the fuck it is that governs that company. And they keep the good shit in the back, and they put it on a fucking website to auction it.
Huh.
There are hundreds of thousands of Nintendo games. I bought a box of vintage lenses for $50. Each one of the lenses that I bought on eBay go for $400 a piece.
Huh.
It's dumb. All I do is go on ShopGoodwill.com now, and I'm like, He-Man action figures. Transformers. Apocalypse X-Men original action figure. And it's like, no results found. I'm like, of course not, because everyone who has one would keep it forever.
or they all broke
or Alex, my brother, systematically just destroyed all the arms.
It's like the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He just gets a list of all the credit card receipts that purchased it and just goes to people's houses.
Snapping the arms off.
All right, and check.
That's his way of trying to make up for it. It's like, I won't get you a new one. I'll break all the ones that exist so nobody can
have
them.
If he can't have it, no one can.
So what he needs to do is buy one and give it to you and let you play with it for like 10 minutes and then go, hey, can I see that? Snap.
Just like,
at that point, you got to give him a well-played, right?
Yeah, like,
that was like
5 weeks later, Adam wakes up in jail. just no memory of the trial.
Yeah, what happened? Well, a lot of things. Some very unchill stuff happened. But speaking of the movie,
stuff happening.
But well, I was gonna go on a merchandising thing. When the courier comes in to drop off the flu over the fucking
rabies,
he's wearing a pair of fucking ultra sweet new Adidas, like some very clearly product placed Adidas. Because he's got this like ultra dark outfit and then just the super white shell toed big high tops.
Nice.
I was like. Sick Adidas, bro. I noticed.
There's an Adidas product placement in Monster Squad, too. That's kind of rad. Maybe Adidas just owned that decade.
It could have been.
Maybe.
They're like, Dracula's going to fly through a window and he's going to get stuck in a bunch of boxes. They're going to fucking be Adidas boxes.
That's true.
That's right.
Don't make me call Run DMC and make them come over here.
They'll tell you all about their Adidas.
We also, fucking Julia Sweeney shows up in this movie.
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten that she was in there as, like, gross chick with cold. Like,
she's kind of the... I like to imagine she's the same character as Pulp Fiction.
I mean, she could be.
Like, when she goes to, like, to move back in with her parents after the incidents at Clamp Tower, and she just decides to help her dad run his junkyard.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just gonna go do this.
I mean, she's Julia Sweeney. Her dramatic range is not that broad, you know?
Let me ask you guys this question. How much do you love Brainwave Cow in that scene in the genetics lab?
Yeah.
I feel great. I love giving milk.
Like, I was looking at her, I'm like, I love this movie.
Oh, the little rat that they can light the light bulb on, and yeah. They get zapped, and he's like, if only we could touch them, they'd make good batteries, we could put these in flashlights.
Rats do like the dark.
Yes.
Yeah, the Christopher Lee has an amazing role in this, just being the relentlessly evil.
I like that it's the 90s, which means you can go anywhere and... get into any building or any room ever known by just having a toolbox with you and, like, vaguely saying you're here to fix the copier.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't even know the copier was broken. Yeah, there's no email to say that the copier isn't broken, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back there now and just, like, wander into the
research
facility.
We're good, right? Someone will sign for this later, I guess.
Cool.
And I'm in.
So we're hitting the outside edge of when it's still an exotic big city thing to have a yogurt bar.
Yeah, that's true.
To talk about, like, all-natural foods and
shit. Well, for us Midwesterners, especially, at the time this came out, that there was no Starbucks here. There were no, like, specialty ice cream shops, like, that no one was doing the whole, oh, we have organic soy latte type shit. Like, you know, we're 20 years behind that. So, yeah, it was this very, like, oh, how posh and big city of them.
Did you notice that all of the women in Clamp Tower, especially in line for that, are just skeletally thin?
Yeah, pretty much in general. That's
yeah, because they're like, is that vegan all natural, blah, blah, blah? Oh, shit, a gremlin. And they're like twiggy, break in half kind of.
Oh, I'd forgotten how funny it is that when Billy's boss is like, we should get dinner, you know, because he gets a little pat on the back from Clamp. And then she's like, I'm going to ride these coattails and maybe him. And she takes him out to dinner. She's like, oh, this is a great Canadian place. they got the fish right on the table.
So many little gags in there.
And I didn't notice it when they first said it. And then when they get to the restaurant, and it is like the Outback Steakhouse for Canada.
Yeah, they're all dressed like Mounties and shit.
It's so fucking ridiculous. And it's like, as a kid, I don't think I thought anything was weird about that restaurant.
No, like the waiter, like, oh, sorry, sir. Eh? Can I get you another Molson?
So fucking over the top ridiculous.
I also... just love the chocolate mousse being a chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
That is, like, lovely. I really enjoy when Billy gets out of the research lab and goes and takes Gizmo into the bathroom. And the doorman goes, hey, mister, welcome to the men's room. I was like, I wish every bathroom did that.
And then someone leaves. He's like, I hope you washed your hands. It's like, don't tell me how to live.
Yeah.
Disembodied voice in the bathroom.
Automated super building.
Well, it all builds up to fire, giver of life.
This the untamed element. Whose dad's like, one of man's oldest mysteries, the untamed element. It's got this whole, like, nice build-up for fire.
Roundabout here is when, what's her face? Billy's girlfriend, fiance?
80s beat-off fantasy Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, I couldn't think of her character name.
Pause Fast Times at Ridgemont High so you can basically be that guy.
But this is around the time she takes home the wrong gremlin, which leads to the wacky antics with the Fettermans when they come to visit.
My God. 36 minutes, or 34 minutes, 46 seconds into the movie is the single greatest moment of all time.
Which moment is this?
The two close-ups on that crazy gremlin's face when he's going just fucking bananas. I cannot do anything but laugh hysterically. The part that I've put down both timestamps, 34:46, and quite possibly even better, 36:32, when he has the fucking Hostess cupcake. He's like, does it? It's just like the look on his face. He's just like...
Those little eyeballs rolling around.
Like,
and...
like he just... I can't just stop moving. Just you gotta be a bit more careful. Just everything about that whole scene where it just hurt like that fucking.
Well, the fact that
asshole.
She's still convinced that it's Gizmo.
Yeah, she's like, you seem really hyper, and he's like, boo. Like,
I love that he has the Daffy Duck, like, boo.
Yeah. I love that shit.
I also like when he's up on the boot, like the King Kong thing. He's up on the model. Yeah. And she tries to grab him. He waves at her. He's like, hello, hello. Like, it's everything about that one. He totally sucks as a gremlin, but he's great as a little mogwai.
Yeah, I feel like you could get used to having him around as a mogwai. You have to give him a little bit of Thorazine or something to kind of mellow
cool him out.
Shit,
and just like, but, sometimes you can let him be wild.
Yeah,
but
just every now and then you pass him a joint and you can go back to having fun.
Also, the that Twinkie has the most cream filling of any Twinkie ever known.
It was the
steps on it and
it was the holy grail of Twinkie.
I was just like, wow, no Twinkie has ever had that much cream filling.
No, sadly.
The one sad tale of this movie.
The sad tale of the Twinkie that I didn't get to eat.
The Lego Gremlin. How cool is that? I know where this is way ahead, but popped into my head. Like, that is a product placement, and making it that cool.
It's pretty tight.
It's pretty dope.
Clamp Tower just seems like a place I would want to hang out.
Oh,
like,
my God, right?
Despite the kind of malfunctioning electronics and getting into my worst nightmare, which is revolving doors that get stuck.
Yeah.
Like, getting past that, though, it's this place that has, like, an entire mall on the bottom floor that's open 24 hours. Because they come in at, like, midnight, and everybody is still going strong, queuing up for their yogurt.
Well, yeah, because, like, it's got enough places that must be, like, sort of nightclub-type bars, too, that, yeah, like, that clearly, like, okay, eventually you just have your hangover coffee across the hallway and go back to work, like... It's not a bad place to work.
Yeah, it's like a research lab, a high-powered office building.
A cable channel,
a mall.
Architectural firm.
Yeah, it's just like all these crazy
with the geneticists
things.
On the top floor.
I mean, they set it up with the ability to have whatever scene they wanted to have happen. It's just, oh, well, they have that floor, too, in this building. Like, that's actually not a bad plot device. Of course, oh, we want to have this happen? Well, that's the 14th floor. Oh, okay, cool. Well, they just had to get to the 14th floor, then. And then whatever nonsense. The cooking show lady. Fuck.
Love that crazy shit. And the gremlins Giles. Getting their revenge on the microwave.
Yeah.
They're putting
microwave.
The just what's in that bag? Nothing.
Well, let's take a little look at that nothing.
I wouldn't do that for you. Well, you're not me, are you? Opens it up, and then, like, that little bastard is on his face kicking and swinging around. And then he's like, woo! Just like the shadow, he, like, zips away. And that's what counts as him eating after midnight, is eating the front part of that dude's nose.
Yeah, apparently, I suppose.
Well, we don't see him for a while.
There's a lot more.
He
had
a
ho-ho. Well, there's a little chunk of his nose missing. Yeah. I mean, he could have spit it out.
He's got, like, the Chris Farley missing the tip of his nose because of the Saigon whore type look. The gremlins the mogwai, have a lot more personality in this movie right from the start than any of the ones in the previous, where I think in the previous is enough that they're just meaner versions of Gizmo and then they'll turn into gremlins, whereas this one, like, they wanted to make sure we had a reason to like each one of them, which I think worked well for the type of movie they made.
Here's the question. Is the lack of Feldman good or bad in this?
I didn't miss him.
Didn't miss him at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I got you know, Billy and Phoebe Cates, and then I got the Fettermans, and that was...
Yeah, you got your Dick Miller up in there. Yeah,
that was enough. And then, like, you have a strong supporting cast with Glover and with...
Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, Marla is kind of hilarious.
She's pretty funny.
And Marla? Smoke. Okay.
I want to know how many takes it took her to get, and I was looking for the quote where she's asking Billy out for dinner, and he says, I have a deadline, and she says something like, I have an absolute emergency tsunami double chili alarm, like this 30-second long
just
thing.
Nonsense.
Yeah. But I'm letting
so
it go.
So fast. Yeah, I'm letting it go. It's at dinner with you.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it.
Pretty good.
I love it, Gary.
So when the film breaks and Josh had the Summer Ruiners.
Yes.
And they put on an old porno movie.
Yep.
I don't even know how to react to that other than... I love it,
I think,
Gary.
You mean a documentary film about nudists playing beach volleyball.
Yeah, yes, right.
Educating
right.
the public as to the naturist right. lifestyle.
I wrote down just, this movie was so meta before meta was even a thing.
Yeah. We had no concept for that yet.
It was just like, this movie is just out there, just getting its meta on all day long.
And there's self-referential movies before this, but this one does it right. Like, I watched Return of the Killer Tomatoes a couple days ago, and that's another movie that acknowledges it's a movie because it has like the old Grandpa Dracula type intro, and they're like, okay, like, Larry, start the movie, and they start the projector, and it's just a bunch of dudes on a beach, and then a bunch of chicks in bikinis come running up, and then they're all dancing, and then you just see tops hitting the sand, and then the title card comes up, and it's big-breasted girls go to the beach and take their tops off.
Yeah.
And you hear the guy go, this isn't the movie. And he goes, yeah, but I like this movie better. We watched this 3 times last week. Put on the Killer Tomato movie, and then the Killer Tomatoes movie starts. And I was like, okay,
that's pretty.
Like
awesome.
That's a decent meta joke, but I feel like Gremlins does all that where it feels right for the movie they're doing. It doesn't seem as strange.
We don't make the movies; we simply play them. And for some reason, in my mind, I feel like if they remade that movie, that bit part would go to Josh. Or just, I don't know why, but I just feel like that guy. And you are, like, kindred spirits. Like, he's your fucking, your Patronus. Like, your Patronus would be that.
Grandpa Munster is my Patronus.
No, not Grandpa Munster. Sorry, the guy in the movie, the usher at the movie theater.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But you would Patronus him out and be like, we don't make the movies, madam. We merely show them. And the Matt would be the projectionist. Stumbling down.
And quitting. Dunn would be Hulk Hogan.
No, I would be the mom complaining about how the movie's so
which
gross
apparently
for children.
Is based on a thing that happened when the first one was playing, that the woman came out of the theater and complained to the manager about how the movie was too scary for her little girl, while the little girl was going, let me go, I want to go see it. And she like ran off and ran away from her mom and hid in the theater until the movie was over.
Awesome.
So that was a little homage to that.
That's pretty great.
I like that.
This is the first one that I can think of that... So the first one was a major release... And, you know, not like a B-movie or trauma movie or something. The second one has the same talent behind the camera and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's still an Amblin movie.
And it's like, still his story, and yet he just makes a spoof of the first one.
Yeah.
And then, like, a lot of horror movies go comedy pretty quickly, you know, like the Leprechaun series or something. But for something to start off as, like, it's like if they made a sequel to E.T. and it was just, like, doesn't that guy's head kind of look like a turd?
And has, like, sproing noises in the background when something happens? I mean, I feel like they had a tough decision to make. Is like, the first one ended up being kind of... It's like an Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2 situation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, yeah, the first movie is like, okay, it's legit trying to be scary, sort of. But it's still 2-foot-tall monsters. Like, that's not terribly intimidating. And so we could either try to make that scary, even though now everybody's already familiar with them, or we can just go bonkers. And somehow they got the go-ahead to go bonkers, and I'm glad they did, because like, that's a more interesting path for that series to take.
Well,
I mean, I guess the third one would have to be in space at this point. But.
I think the amazing thing is that Spielberg signed off.
Yeah.
He's just like, yep, I will have executive... I will bankroll this movie. I will bankroll this movie.
Yeah.
And I love him for it.
Oh, but that was absolutely. In his, like, sure, I'll executive produce Tiny Toon Adventures and Animaniacs. And, like, maybe he just, like, I got kids now, and I'm going to make something funny. And having the, like, voice
I'll say
of...
Never Shout Never.
Having the,
so
like,
bad.
Voice of the guy who had problems with the first one in the movie is kind of awesome, too. just having those two dudes in the control room pretty much catching him. Like, oh, you can't feed him after midnight, huh? Well, what if he has something stuck in his teeth and he swallows it later? And then it's like, well, actually, once the monsters start slashing people, that's kind of an irrelevant question. But we're going to go ahead and pose it and, you know, give the audience what they're thinking and then just kind of pull the rug
out.
Yeah,
like just be like, I reject your questions and institute my own reality.
And having Leonard Maltin get eaten for...
Yeah. No, no, it's great. A 10, it's a 10! I love that he's trying to plead with them, that if you give it a 10, they'll just stop eating him. And then we get... is that the dude from UHF? Cooney from UHF is the cameraman.
Which one's Cooney?
Oh, he's also Duck Dong from 16 Candles.
Oh, yeah,
all those dudes.
But UHF is better.
UHF.
Anytime that you need somebody to be kind of an offensive Asian stereotype,
well, it's pretty much Hammer, the guy that plays the old man. Like, those are your go-tos in film.
We got them both for Gremlins 2.
The kid who plays
the new match.
Too young at that point.
Oh, that's a genius idea, Larry.
So we have.
I fucking love it. That's all the talk of Gremlins 2 was. Like a bunch of guys. Martinis and cigars, and Spielberg's like, I think we should probably go ahead and greet him. I fucking love it, Steven.
Yeah, this is, unfortunately, had like an 8 martini lunch.
I fucking love it. Get Joe Dante up here. Let's do this.
So it's not long after this that our gremlins end up in the genetics lab.
Oh, yeah.
And shit goes well and truly sideways in like the most nutty ways, where we get what? A spider gremlin, electro gremlin.
Vegetable gremlin was a personal favorite because then he can hide in the salad bar.
Yep, that was
and
pretty
burp
tight.
At people.
Yep.
We get the incredible bat gremlin in stop motion.
Oh, yep, the bat gremlin.
And then we get our transgendered gremlin.
Right. The less said about that, the better.
The bat gremlin, while I love that it gets covered in cement and becomes a gargoyle, like that's a pretty cool death. I remember the first couple times I saw this being really disappointed we didn't get more bat gremlin in this. Because that's just cool looking. Like, that makes a pretty badass.
That bat gremlin is legitimately a mini version of the monster from Tales from the Dark Side.
Pretty much.
I know that I've said that for the Army of Darkness thing, but.
But the gremlin's already
like
look
legit.
So much like
that one is a small version of that monster.
Yeah. That was pretty
funny. And I love that Dick Miller gets to, like, throttle that little bastard and throw him into the cement and be like, you ain't dope just because you can fly and you're immune to the sun. I'm Dick Miller. I've been in like 900 movies. I'll fuck you up. Just like, I love that they just let him ad-lib that in there.
Yeah, no, I love that like really? Fetterman gets to just go up and clean house. Like he gets all of his like psychological problems cured by just whooping some ass.
I've never been crazy.
It's like he gets his own little Straw Dogs moment.
Yeah. Well, you have that first scene where he sees the Mogwai and then his wife goes, it's all right, honey. I saw it too. And he's like, of course you fucking saw it too.
Right there.
But then when you get to it, they're like, I'm not crazy. I've never been crazy. God, like, yes.
Yeah, let me in there. He felt like a total nutter when he's like, yeah, let me in there.
And then he gets to use the, like, Inspector Gadget MIB secret entrance.
Yeah. Yep.
That was pretty sweet.
I love that. I thought we'd never have to air this. The clamp, like, the end of the civilization. We hope you were entertained.
We hope you enjoyed our quality programming. But more than that, we hope you enjoyed.
So
that's the thing about Clamp is he's kind of sincere.
He is.
Right?
Like
he's just a total putz is what
it
is.
He could easily have been Dickless from Ghostbusters. Like I could see that actor in there making him a real asshole.
Make him a prick, yeah.
But he is just kind of clueless, and so you're on board with him.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like the guy seems to have no malice in his body, but he's surrounded by suits that are have a stronger personality than he does. So I feel like any of the shit that comes down from above isn't coming from Clamp. It's coming from his assistants, who just make sure things look like they're running smoothly for him. And they don't
care for him, it's not, I'm going to kick this old man out of this place and tear it to the ground. It's, I'm going to build this so cool, new, awesome thing that everyone's going to love.
Yeah, just go buy it from everybody.
Yeah, why wouldn't he not want to sell the thing to me?
What do we get? So we get all of our mutant ones. Oh, Gizmo has his Rambo moment.
Well, Gizmo's getting tortured still, because the spider gremlin doesn't come until after... Stripe gets done torturing him and running trains into him and shit.
Right.
And,
so ridiculous.
And pulling his fur off with Velcro. God. Being a complete asshole to Gizmo. And then we get Gizmo training.
Yeah, right? And training montage, which is ridiculous.
You want to go to war? Got to become war. And I was like, this is going to be fucking incredible.
Did you guys ever play the Gremlins 2 NES game?
I did
you
not.
You guys play that at all? It's, you're basically Gizmo with the flaming paperclip bow and arrow and running around shooting other gremlins. It's fucking sweet.
It sounds, like, sounds like a win to me.
It's every bit what you'd expect that to be from that era, and it's glorious. I love that game.
So we were watching this. I was watching this with my wife. And
had she seen it before?
She had seen that one, but she has not seen the first one.
Weird.
So I kept saying, yeah, it's kind of weird that the gremlins in this aren't really out to like murder people so much as they are like being annoying and playing pranks and stuff. And she's like, oh, how is that different? Like, oh, well, in the first one, they're just little murder monsters who really just want to rip the shit out of everybody. And she goes, wow, that was really gruesome the way he put that one through the paper shredder. And like, oh, you didn't see the microwave.
Yeah.
The first one.
Like, well, they did the, it's the a whole lot mixer darker. In the first one, too.
Of course, I'm basing this off my memories of it when I was like 10.
The first one?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it last Christmas.
And of having the record and book together that was a Burger King prize when that came out.
Awesome.
And I need to find these again because it was fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It was somebody reading the story, and then there were sound effects, too.
Oh, cool.
So the book that I had ends with, and the cocoons began to bubble and pop, and you hear this like sick sound, like sound effects and everything. It's
so they
scared
had
the
to,
shit
like,
out of me when I was a kid.
Or something
yeah,
to get the whole story.
But
that's great. You get the one that leaves
you in
like the
goddamn happy meal, right?
I don't know. Like the '80s were a very different time. We trusted kids to get over their shit. Like I don't know. I feel like I'd be. Well, then again, my kid doesn't really count because he's totally different. Because I just let him watch whatever. But like, he would be thrilled to get a Gremlins fucking something in a happy meal.
Yeah, well, he would be thrilled to get like. The naked chick from Piranha 3D and a happy
yeah, probably would.
Yeah. So would I.
No, true.
But I'm older.
So Gizmo murders Stripe, well, takes retribution on Stripe. And we get Billy, like, what the hell happened to him? And, like, Gizmo looks still very normal. He's just wearing a headband.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, the only thing we know is that Stripe is over there screaming in agony, burning to death, alive. And it's like, I guess they just pushed him too far.
Yep.
It's like, goddamn right they did.
Because that's just Gizmo's got, like, that, like, yeah,
this movie
shit look.
Has a lot less Gizmo in it than I remember. Like, the way I remembered it from last time I saw it was Gizmo is in it, like, every third minute. Like, they're just constantly showing him.
But he's out of commission for quite a while.
He's not, he's getting his ass whooped on big time.
They just cut back to show, like, one more thing happened to him. But that's, they follow the gremlins a lot more in this movie than they do even Billy or Gizmo.
Yeah. Well, and then we got the gremlin, and we got Brain.
Then,
you know,
yeah, Brain
talk.
At some point. Which, like, I don't know who the voice actor is, but I was just kind of going, when I try to explain it to people.
Tony
like,
Randall.
Is it Tony Randall? Okay, yeah. I always say he sounds a little like Kelsey Grammer, just too smart for what you'd think a gremlin would be. And I was chatting with Manna last night, and she's like, so, what does a gremlin talk about? I'm like, mostly how they want to be accepted, more civilized. And she's like, what?
I love when he's just like,
civilization.
The civilization thing, and then just like, well, we want reasonable credit, even if we've been turned down in the past. I'm just like, that is such a, like, as an adult, I laugh my ass.
It
just flew right over my head as a kid. But that part hit last night when I watched it, and I was like, oh my God, that's a great joke. It's like, even if we have shitty credit, we want to have an affordable loan. That's all we want.
This is a movie that, and this comes up, I think, with all three movies this week, that takes every opportunity to put a joke in the movie. And I think they all hit in this movie. Like, there's not a point where I go, wah, wah. Like, it's just ridiculously funny throughout, and I love all the little moments. And like you said, even noticed some this time that he hadn't noticed before, whereas, like, in the other two movies, that's not always the case, maybe. But, just consistently funny. This movie's never scary.
No.
You know, you could feel a little bad for Gizmo while he's getting punked on, but you're never scared of the gremlins.
Imagining what's going to happen between, Holodeck Doctor and the Gremlin Girl is a little bit
that's
crazy,
a little horrifying,
especially because he seems to just go with it.
He's like, oh, this is
by the end,
now.
He's just like, I'm gonna get raped.
Yep. Well, he kind of smiles, like, because he's, you know, it's crazy New York, big city, yogurt bar, salad bar, 150 cable channels. Of course, they're gonna be a little looser with who they stick their dick in. I love that they like. Completely
and that's okay.
Way
I
want
to go ahead. Then we're okay with that on that show.
Yeah, sure. Have sex with however many gremlins you want while eating at Gremlinos. The Gremlinos bathroom is, that's seen some action.
I once got busy in a Gremlinos bathroom.
Exactly. But I do love watching
episode
it.
Episode title?
I think that's
perhaps?
Probably.
Yeah.
I like the the big wide joke in this is the cable channels that are like, there's one just for archery and one just for cooking. It was like, oh my God, if they could only see.
Yeah, how prescient they are.
Just like, yeah.
There is a channel devoted not only to just reality series that ran on Fox, but to reality series that ran on Fox that feature cars.
Like,
there's a little bit more granularization than you would think.
There's a channel just for cooking. Oh, just one, huh?
Yes. Exactly. Oh, the one cooking channel?
Although I do like the idea that they're filming all of the content for all of those channels inside the building.
Yeah.
Which means the archery channel's got to be really interesting.
Maybe they go on the roof, which means they have like a shitty apartment across the street, and you're like, ah, fuck. But, yeah, that does kind of play into the Ted Turner early days of, TBS and stuff, where it was just the lowest shit quality programming, because they were cranking it all out of Atlanta, and no money was put behind any of it. It's just the fact that they had to fill 24 hours of TV, which is why you get pro wrestling so often in the early cable channels. But it makes sense for the kind of guy they're making Clamp be. They're a few years too late, you know, to be in that era, because that'd be more late 70s, early 80s. But that aesthetic actually holds up for the way those guys made their TV.
And then colorizing all the movies was a nice little jab at
and the note about Casablanca now in color
for the happier ending.
So the big scam that they pull to kill the gremlins is to convince them it's nighttime by dropping really big curtains that fortunately exist.
Well, he's Daniel
and also
Clamp.
Making them think they're in Red Square.
Yeah, it's...
Because there's like St. Peter's, whatever is.
Yeah, it's
well, I mean, other than
it's 2 in the afternoon, and then just like, boom, it's dark. Oh, sweet, it's nighttime.
Well, I mean, they're partying though; they're drinking.
That's true.
And they're wild.
The crazy
out.
Gremlins just going nuts in the bars is a pretty fun
scene. They're going nuts. They're having a party. Brain is preoccupied by being interviewed by Grandpa Munster.
Yeah,
you know. So there's a little, and then there's the choreographed dance number that they got to get
big
in there.
New
so
York,
there's,
New York.
You know, there's a whole thing that they can't really. You know, they're not really paying attention. So time is flying. And, you know, getting a big, giant nighttime curtain, he's Daniel fucking Clamp. I'm pretty sure you could find one.
Yeah,
he probably just calls the Met and be like, hey, I need that backdrop you got for whatever fucking play you're doing.
True. One of my favorite moments in the whole movie is all the gremlins going, da, 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 da.
Yeah. And all just doing that, like, very Muppety, like, all heads bounce three times left, heads bounce three times right.
Oh, they want to watch.
There are hundreds of them.
Yeah, for being a completely practical movie, there's a shit ton of gremlins in that.
Yeah, like, it's pretty rad.
Shit ton. I'm sure many of them were just the merchandise they then sold afterwards, because from far enough away, you can just be waving a completely immobile gremlin toy around, and it'll just add to the nonsense.
The plan goes to shit because God decides that it's not going to go down like that, because he's testing Billy.
Yeah.
He's testing him.
This is Billy's passion.
This is
the passion
of the
Zach Gallagher.
Billy Peltzer.
Yes, Peltzman.
Oh, Peltzman.
No, he's Peltzer. Peltzman is the guy that we know.
No, I know, but I thought it was the same name. I could be wrong.
Well then. In your face.
Knighted?
So they just spray water all over him, and they get the gremlin who's on hold, which I love. I love that the electric gremlin's trapped in hold. Like, he has to live by the rules of electricity, so he's like stuck inside the phone
and freaking out because of the hold music.
Yeah,
they're little video phones.
Yeah,
they're beautiful little
that's a
320 by 180.
What's up with that desk? Oh, it opens periodically just in case you need something.
just a childlike wonder, like, that seems like a really neat thing. Did we make that? I bet we made that.
I love when they have Billy's, this is going way back, but when Billy's got Kingston Falls, his nice, beautiful little picture he drew of and watercolor painted, and it's like, we spent millions of dollars having established artists, and it's just like the yellow triangle, red circle, and blue square. It's just like...
By established...
In your face, artists. Modern art. Gremlins 2 is calling your ass out.
I found the whole Brain Gremlin speech, which is beautiful. It's like, what sort of civilization are you speaking of? The niceties, Fred, the fine points, diplomacy, compassion, standards, manners, tradition. That's what we're reaching towards. Oh, we may stumble along the way, but civilization, yes, the Geneva Convention, chamber music, Susan Sontag. Everything your society has worked so hard to accomplish over the centuries, that's what we aspire to be. You take a look at this fellow here. Blam. Now, is that civilized? No, clearly not. Fun, but in no sense civilized. Now, bear in mind, none of us have been in New York before. There are the Broadway shows. We'll have to find out how to get tickets. There's also a lot of street crime, but I believe we can watch that for free. We want the essentials. Dinettes, complete bedroom groups, convenient credit, even though we've been turned down in the past. Holy shit, is that just...
Yeah, I remember,
monstrous.
As soon as you said the Broadway part, the first thing my brain clued into was the vast amounts of street crime, which I believe we can watch for free. So they kill all the gremlins. The day is saved. They're going to rebuild Kingston Falls or whatever. And Clamp and Billy become best friends.
Right.
Marla is noticed as a smoking hot hottie by Clamp.
Yeah.
But instead of like trying to ask her on a date, he just gives her a promotion because that's the kind of person he is.
Yep.
And Futterman is excited about everything and sees his wife, and then everyone's like super good, and Gizmo wants to know if they have cable.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that sounds about right. It's
so lovely.
Warms my heart. I love this movie. It's so good. It's so fucking good. This is just, one of those, like, it's about time to watch Gremlins and Gremlins 2 again. Because I always think I'd prefer to watch them both, because there's good shit to enjoy about the first, but man, the second one is just so much fun. Love this movie.
Also, taking one of the major dramatic points in the first movie and making it a joke in the second with the Lincoln's birthday thing. Oh, man. And just we don't have time for that right now.
Yeah, just like, don't mention Lincoln. And she starts going to the speech and like...
Could you get the feeling that she has a speech like that for every holiday on the calendar?
Yeah. So good. What do we want to rate?
Oh, man. I do love it. I would probably give it an 8 out of 10. Is it safe?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That's great, too. I'm going to go... And this is weird because, like, again, theoretically we're a horror movie podcast. There's nothing scary about this, but I'm not letting that prevent me from giving it a high
technically
rating.
Monster movies, so technically it fits in the genre more than musicals.
Sure. I'll go the 8.5 out of 10. We can watch the street crimes for free.
And mine will be 8.5.
Coffee
out of 10. When not only does he kill the secretary, he kills her and then puts her clothes on and pretends to be her typing a memo.
And look, if you're gonna put on women's clothing, that's totally cool. You might look great in it. You don't have to kill a woman to do it.
That's true.
You guys, that is where I draw the line.
Well, so I mean, you look like this though. They're stumbling along the way to civilization. They don't know.
He couldn't admit to himself that he just wanted the clothes, so he had to be like, check it out, guys, I'm totally going to murder this chick.
Wouldn't it be funny if I wore a clothes and the gremlins are like, no? And he's like, yeah, it would. and then he puts them on.
Like, look how wacky I am. They're like, that's not that wacky. We were just killing
It's wacky, though.
We just killed a guy with a toaster over here.
And they're just like, it's pretty wacky, though. Well, you can take the clothes off. Yeah, or I can keep them on.
It's a pretty great joke, though, guys, right?
Or I can keep them on the rest of the movie. Just like, well, all right.
This movie really broadens our understanding of what sexuality can be, and that's all I'm saying.
I feel like the Gremlins are very progressive in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely a classic as far as I'm concerned.
I love this movie so much.
Well, that brings us to something that is not a classic. Well, two of us did not like it at all.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get right into...
Yes, let's take a break.
All right, we will take this break and then come back.
Or not.
Or we won't.
Or won't we?
Will we?
Will we
stay tuned, or just keep listening?
Don't touch that dial.
Dun dun dun.
Night.
No, thanks. I'm good.
All right, so we're gonna get into our lightning round.
I forget what I'm supposed to do.
You're supposed to echo.
Echo.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
It's way off in the distance.
Yeah. Well, you have to time...
There's trouble on the horizon.
How long it takes from the lightning strike to the thunder, and then we know how far off of the movie we are. That was a clap of thunder. The episode that gave Adam the clap.
Adam Thunder Done.
I gave the episode the clap.
Can't we just get beyond Thunder Done?
There's nothing beyond Thunderdome, and we both know it.
All right, we don't need another hero. What we do need is Saturday the 14th, or Sábado el 14. And we're going to lightning round that. I'll kick off because I'm the only one who likes it.
Still.
And I'll give myself a minute. And go. So we got Jeffrey Tambor as ancient vampire, and He wants to move into a house that has a special book that makes evil come out of it. But all you really got to know is a bunch of monsters come out, and they are fairly ineffectual. There's a hot girl in a bathtub that, in my memory, is naked for a long time, but is actually side boob briefly. But she did the job when I was 12. I don't know. It's super funny. The dad is a terrible actor, and that's kind of great. The fact that they keep saying damn owls when there are bats flying around is super awesome. There is a certain brand of 70s woman, like this lady, Margot Kidder and Suzanne Plachette, who are playing sexy with the like yellow teeth and the smoker voice kind of deal. So I don't know. It gets the job done. It's super silly. I enjoyed it through my nostalgia lenses. I will give it a like 5 out of 10 Streisand records. Two, one.
All right. Can we have 15 seconds?
All right, hold on now. This is irregular.
What about
that,
Rod?
The boner of a man's heart is saltier. Okay, 15 seconds, go.
This movie's incredibly boring. It is just overly long and lame and really bad. Jeffrey Tambor must have needed money big time. So somebody needed to just write. Let's just write Jeffrey Tambor all a check for $4 each, if we can all find any checks. Don't watch this movie.
All right, how much time do you want?
I'll go with 20 seconds.
All right, 20 seconds, go.
I was super excited when I saw Jeffrey Tambor. I was super sad that he was barely in the movie. I think the actual physical monster design, like the costumes, a couple of those were pretty cool. The one with the eyes on like stalks above its head is like, that's a cool looking monster.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they didn't have anything to do. I also liked the callback to always thinking anything creepy moving around as an owl, but overall, super, super bored.
I don't understand the board. I wonder if the cut that you guys were watching, because you said it was...
It's about like 2 hours.
No.
Yeah. It's like the Svengoolie one, which,
pull it up.
Oddly enough, Svengoolie normally makes most of the bad horror movies that he has the wraparounds on better, but this was not one of them. This was not.
See, I got a on videotape from my video store. I got the cut that's like 75 minutes and is pretty tight.
Yeah, I see that there's about a 75 minute cut on YouTube, but there's also the one I watched, which is an hour 56.
Yeah, that's too much. Too much of this movie. I get it. Because to me, the pacing in this is pretty tight. Like, shit goes sideways immediately and just continues. I love the woman in thrall of Dracula throughout. She's kind of hilarious. The fact that Van Helsing is the bad guy at the end, but he has to throw this monster party to get energy, so he calls the liquor store, and the liquor guy shows up with Doritos, potato chips, pizza, and Streisand records, because you have to have Streisand records for your party.
Yeah,
this movie, I understand now how you guys felt when I made you watch Troll.
It's true that the dad in this is as creepy as Michael Moriarty is in Troll.
Mm.
He's like, comes into the kid's room when the kid's having a nightmare and like pins him to the bed and has the smile like, well, I guess you better go back to bed, huh? And like, whoa, Jesus.
Yeah, the opening crawl where they're like, oh, you know, back 100 years ago they were fighting evil and blah, 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 and they had to banish it forever. Space, they blew it. And I was like, okay, that's a good setup. Like, that's a funny way to go. Like, now we're gonna have this.
Like, I mean, a Monster Squad.
Or was that Monster Squad?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the beginning of this one. Oh, then I totally hate this movie. Then I thought that was the start of this. And
no,
then
that's disappointing.
Oh, no, this is the shitty animated movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It reminded me of Rockula, the opening credits.
Yeah.
Which I guess I can't.
Wow, I totally conflated the opening to these two movies, and I thought that was the one part I liked. So,
right, has anyone else seen Rockula?
You missed your chance.
I thought I made at least one of you.
I used to eat boxes of Rockula cereal when I was a kid. I watched
Around Rockula. You and Scooby Doo used to.
That's right.
No, Rockula is a movie, early 90s. Immortal vampire forms a band to get a chick in the like Guns N' Roses era.
Isn't that just Queen 90s. Of the Damned? Because aren't you just describing Queen of the Damned starring Leah and Stuart Townsend?
It's the better version because his band has Bo Diddley in it, playing himself.
But
and Queen his mom Damned, is Tony Basil.
Queen of the Damned has...
And Van Helsing is played by Thomas Dolby.
It has that amazing chick from Mighty Ducks in it, though.
I haven't seen Queen of the Damned.
I saw
it's not very
no
good.
Part of that was appealing.
Part of it, and I realized that the music was being brought to us by Korn, and then I was kind of done.
Hmm.
Like, actually the vegetable or the shitty band?
Oh, no,
the
Children of the Korn.
Lestat gets up on stage and he's
it's Malachi's jug band.
Yeah, oh, that would be great.
Somebody
should do, like, somebody should do Korn music in, like, the Kids Bop style and have it be Children of Korn. I would play that really loud in my car.
I would be happy that existed.
As I rolled through the hood.
I want to listen to it.
So, weird, in the background of one of these scenes, because we're going to get out of this movie real quick, but there's a silence, which was kind of weird, from Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the monsters has the full-on silence mask years and years before that was a Doctor Who thing.
That's crazy. I didn't even notice that.
That's because you're not cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to put that out there.
I feel like that's one of your hipster moves. Not liking Doctor Who is a hipster move.
I don't think it's a hipster move. I've watched like 3 or 4 seasons and just didn't like it.
I don't feel like you can watch almost an entire run of a show and be like, I just didn't like it and I watched almost all of it.
Well, because I knew I was supposed to. So I was like, there's got to be something I'm missing.
Oh, don't even talk to me.
You're like, I don't want to be that guy.
Look, man, I got to go home and watch 3 more episodes of Doctor Who, but I don't like it. I'm watching it because the worlds that I had to.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then I'm going to say
it's terrible. Get the fuck out of your own house on that one.
All my friends love that show, and I was like, okay, like this must something must pick up here, and it never did for me. And I was like, I'm watching this just to do it. I'm done.
You're a cum dumpster. That's what you are.
Segways are weird.
They are, because you have to wear a helmet on them, but you're only going like 15 miles an hour. Yeah, like my note on this was that I wouldn't suggest any grown-up watch it, but
I bet the boy would like it.
Like a 12-year-old would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I think Austin could probably get behind this. There's like enough monsters popping up and things happening that he'd probably be into it. But he liked Haunting of Whaley House, so
I mean, what this lacks compared to like Gremlins 2 is
jokes.
The jokes for the older set
being good.
Right. There's nothing in Saturday the 14th that acting. Is for the older set.
Cinematography.
There's some stellar acting in this.
Edits.
Mm-hmm.
Music. You guys good watched it like 3 hour long?
A good animated intro versus a bad animated intro. There are a lot of things Gremlins 2 just has that this one does not have.
I mean, you can sum it up with quality.
You have Van Helsing throwing out the line, oh, are you pregnant? You remember Rosemary? She had a baby. And no thank you, I never drink coffee. Awesome.
Yeah.
Plus side boob, plus man in suit with awesome giant zipper on the back. I don't know. I am going to suggest that people watch it.
I don't know. No, it's
I like that. Like our just awkward silence as you continue to rattle off.
And I'm not even
trying
to be a boner jam. It's just like like I said about Gremlins. Like they pack a joke in at every opportunity, but they just weren't funny.
Like telling the kid to act his age, and he says, "I am acting my age. You're just used to me acting like a grown up."
That's pretty clever.
Cool story. It takes place in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I'd be more happy if it took place in Erie, Indiana.
Yeah,
you guys, you should probably just watch it, because then you can come down on either side of this. Or probably in the middle where, like, that was a movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it probably didn't help that I watched it late at night and was just like, oh,
I mean, the
God,
way that you don't
longer?
Understand us hating Troll, I don't really understand.
Yeah, no. And that's why I said I understand.
Because this movie's an ice cream sundae. Like, it may not be your thing. You may be lactose intolerant, but you're not just going to hate an ice cream sundae. You know, come on. It's like kicking a puppy.
Being lactose intolerant, I do hate ice cream sundaes because they make me sick. So,
you hate that they exist, though?
They anger me because there's something that's out there that I cannot have.
Mm.
I don't like cereal. Cereal makes me mad now because I can't eat it.
Huh. I really want to see you, like, grab a box of cereal, like, yeah, fuck you, buddy.
Come close.
Rock you, Ron Rockula.
Well, why don't you tell your body to stop being such a coward and be able to have milk again?
So if you watch this movie and you don't like it, then watch Rockula, because you probably won't like that either, but goddamn, everybody needs to see
You don't
Rockula.
Know how to recommend things. If you don't like this, check out something else you won't enjoy.
Here's something you'll really hate.
You're the inverse Reading Rainbow.
But don't take my word for it. Fuck right off.
If you really hated this, then take my word for it. You probably won't like this other thing, but watch it anyway.
But it demands to be seen.
No, I think it's one of those that just the rose-tinted glasses of youth. It's like, you know, like I don't like Goonies because I didn't see it as a kid. And so it doesn't. You have, there are movies I think if you see at a certain age, they work because the way you take them in is different. And so that's just it's one that probably made. If you saw it as a kid, you'd probably still dig it. If you didn't, I don't think you would much.
Yep, probably not.
So speaking of things that you do not need the rose-colored glasses to truly just fucking enjoy, one of the greatest films of all time, and I'm so
happy.
Oh, we
need
a
rating quick for Saturday the 14th. Josh
bad. Bad is how I'd rate it.
Two out of ten.
Bad.
Two out of ten. You're high.
It was awful.
bad.
It was not awful. I did not enjoy it. I struggled to stay awake the whole time.
But now going to a movie that I was so happy that Josh decided we were going to watch, one of my favorites ever, The Monster Squad. And what is that in Spanish, Josh?
El Escuadrón de Monstruos.
That's a good one.
That actually is pretty good.
Which I should point out, this is a movie I had not seen before. I hadn't.
Which actually kind of blows my mind.
I wasn't sure about it last week, but no, when I watched it, I was like, nope, have not seen any of this, and loved the shit out of it. This is the movie that, to me, is now my Goonies. Like, huh. I much love this idea of like the little band of kids doing the adventure, but this is much more my speed than Goonies.
Bogus.
So good.
It is a lot tighter than Goonies. Like, watching Goonies now, it's amazing how slow that thing moves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see that.
Well, for me, having
plus,
seen...
monsters are cooler than...
Having seen both Goonies and Monster Squad in the age that they were both recommended, this is my favorite between the two of them. Mm. I've always really liked Monster Squad more.
Yeah, I remember friends talked about it a lot, because the whole, like, Wolfman's got nards has been, like, a thing that you would hear forever, and I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right. And we open with... the science teacher trying to be... Well, I mean, we open with the Van Helsing...
Right.
And the portal and all the good business of him getting sucked into limbo. But then we come to modern day times.
Right.
And we've got Sean and Patrick, who... which I have to go ahead and apologize. Mommy Lives in My Closet is not the little boy from Children of the Corn. It's Patrick who's the little boy in Children of the Corn.
Oh, okay.
So that's my fault. Oddly enough, though, Mommy Lives in My Closet is Bud Bundy's little brother.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he was a Faustino.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's Mummy Came in My House.
Yeah,
I know. That's yeah, that's the thing. I was waiting for that line. I'm like, I think that's the line. It was just a little different than
yeah.
you
remembered
it. He actually says, play it, Sam.
Yeah. Well, because the kid says that at the end when he's talking to the army, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Mummy was in my house.
Mummy and then, came in my house.
Yeah.
It's very important to me that it's but, came in my house.
I also... I completely forgot Creature Took My Twinkie, which I thought is actually even better than Mummy Came in My House. So we have the kids, and they're trying to explain about their crazy cat head character to their science teacher, who's like, that's not science. But I dig it, dudes. Like, trying to be just, all cool.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then we get an amazing cool kid bullying bullies.
Oh, my God.
Well, first, So the science teacher tells them all this shit, and they leave with the lovely 80s dialogue. Man, when they send you to school, they don't tell you about the homos and the people with cat heads. But they're talking about their teacher, Mrs. Carlston, who has the hair that Gary Oldman has in Dracula.
So yeah.
Like, double bun action going on. So when they run into her, they walk off meowing and talking about homos.
Yeah, when Don and I talked about this before recording, like, oh, I forgot, like, there was, like, a 10-year span in the 80s where calling someone a faggot was just, like, the go-to insult.
Yeah.
What'd you say, faggot? What'd you say, faggot? It's like, wow, two faggots in a row?
Yeesh. You know, because
that would be rated
just,
R now.
Yeah, it's just, you go, ah, fuck, man. Like, that's reserved now for, like, hard-hitting tales of, like, some bullshit in a drama. Like,
well, just, yeah, that's dialogue from a prison movie now.
Yeah, exactly.
That whole really bullying different. Scene is just, like, that's fucking ultra mean. Fat kid, why can't you stop eating, fat kid? And they're just like
Jesus.
And like, and his friends call him fat kid. Like, everyone just calls him
but
fat
I feel like
kid.
The thing though is like with Horace, when the Monster Squad kids call him fat kid, it seems more endearing, like they're taking control of what the bullies call
they're
him.
They're
they're doing the Clerks too with it.
They're taking
Although
it
I think it's funny that he's
the same way nerd is now something that people
like
wear
the
with
fat
pride.
Kid in this movie is not in the top like 20% of the fattest kids in elementary school now.
He's not even
a little chubby. He would be a bully now.
No, he's the kid that by like ninth grade would be a really kick-ass linebacker.
Yeah.
Like when he grows into his body, he'll just be pretty buff.
Yeah. Which is really sad that that guy passed away in 97 due to pneumonia.
Huh.
Yeah,
way to bring it down.
they were talking about on the commentary about how they're all super bummed that he couldn't be there because he'd been dead for like a decade.
Huh.
But, so we get Rudy rolls up after they stomp on his candy bar. They stomp on his Snickers.
Yeah, the older brother from Wonder Years.
And then they rip his comic book in half. And he's like, oh, because I have a stupidity problem. And Horace, being the timid kid that he is, calls him an asshole under his breath and starts to get beat up for it. So Rudy rolls up on his bike, lights a cigarette off the back of his penny loafer like a beast.
With his leather jacket on.
Yeah, and it's just like, hey, Rudy. Hey, EJ. You met my friend Horace there, huh? He dropped your candy bar. That's his.
It's yours now.
And just like, oh, yeah. You're going to eat it. You're going to eat that shit for being a dick, you little bastard. Just like, and then all the kids are, ooh, in the background. It's just like, Rudy's such a gangster.
He's so cool.
And then Horace clearly likes him so much. Horace is like trying to, it has just like a bunch of beautiful 80s moments. Horace is there trying to hold it together. He wants to cry.
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
Yep.
But he's trying to look tough in front of everybody else, even though he just got beat up. And then he gets Rudy to come with him to join Monster Club.
Yeah. I like the little horror tests they give him.
And I really like Rudy being down with it. He's not just like, you know, I saved your ass, but give me a fucking break. I'm not going to hang with you guys.
Yeah, he seems like a genuinely good guy.
Oh, it helps that the treehouse is next to, like, Slutty Sister's window.
Yeah.
I think he's like,
and then she just likes to mince about checking herself out in her underwear.
I got to be in this Monster Squad. This is Titty Squad.
Yeah, I'm really starting to like this club. Come on, Rudy. It's a monster test. It's important.
All right, fine. And I love that they have the line, like, how do you kill a werewolf? Silver bullet. How else? What do you mean, how else? And they all start shouting random suggestions, and one is shove him out a window and make him explode, which they
shove him out a window onto a bomb.
Yeah, which they do later in the movie, and it doesn't work. And I'm like, that is an amazing callback. Like, way to build that in. That's really, really smart.
And Phoebe knocking on the door. Mom says you have to let me in or it's prescription. That's discrimination, you little jerkoid. Prescription is drugs, which is what you must be on if you think you're getting into this club.
And I again, like 80s kid dialogue where they're just dicks to each other. Like,
and
80s
slang where all you have to do is add oid to anything,
yeah,
and it's kind of it's a good insult.
Yep.
Dickoid, wastoid, dweeboid. You're not just a dweeb, you're a dweeboid. And like, oh
shit.
Faggot.
The 80s, the simpler time.
When you could say, like, penis breath in a movie and it would only get you a PG.
Yeah.
So a little kid wants to go see a slasher movie that's Groundhog Day Part 12, which confused me for a second, because, like, wait, is the joke that they're going to make 12 Bill Murray vehicles? Oh, no, okay. It's like Black Christmas, only it's Groundhog Day.
Well, I guess one of my favorite writers and writer-director of Iron Man 3, Shane Black, co-wrote this.
Yeah. Oh.
And they were talking about how funny it was about Black Christmas and about Halloween, so they put Groundhog Day in there as kind of a early on version of, you know, Eli Roth Thanksgiving to make fun of the fact that there's these tons of holiday themed horror movies.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you get the April Fools and Bloody Valentine and all that, yeah.
And just like, didn't he die? Yeah, but he came back. And the dad's all like bummed out. Watching Sean be up on the roof of his house and watching the drive-in movie with a radio was something I desperately wanted as a young lad. Oh, like, I saw that and
awesome.
I go, why not me? Why am I the one who has nothing ever in this universe? Why am I the one who's always being stolen from and don't have a drive-in within?
I got a broken Apocalypse toy and no drive-in.
This was years before Apocalypse. But that's think about how ruined I was. So I was like, I don't have that drive-in roof situation that I always wanted. And then in the future, that toy is going to be broken. Oh, man.
The 80s, like, wish fulfillment movies for kids like this and, like, the Goonies and stuff, or even, like, Temple of Doom, really did a good job of making you realize how fucking mundane your life was.
Right.
Like, every kid in a movie, they're fighting an alien buddy, or they're, you know, fighting monsters. And, like, what do? I guess I go run around the backyard with a stick.
Yeah, like, when you get on your bike and go riding off, you, like, ride around for a while, and maybe if you have 5 cents, you buy an atomic fireball.
Yeah.
And then you eat that and try not to bite it, but you always bite it, because it's too hot.
Yeah.
And, there's no, well, like, in Goonies and stuff, though, they ride those bikes 12, 15 miles at a stretch.
Yeah.
There should be no chunk in that movie. He should be all slimmed down.
Yeah, he's got to really be, like, carbo-loading when he gets home if he's maintaining that kind of weight. He's doing, like, the Michael Phelps diet.
10 Subway sandwiches.
So that guy, the dad, the Eric Roberts-looking kind of dad, is that 80s dickhole who's supposed to be sympathetic that we saw in some of our earlier movies?
Yeah.
Because he reminded me of Dickhead and Chud and Dickhead and Children of the Corn, where it's just like, your hero, ladies and gentlemen. He, like, takes a drag on a cigarette and blows smoke at his kid. Like, tough shit, you're not going to your fucking movie. Still love you, though, buddy.
Yeah.
God damn. Is it when the other kid's dad comes in, when Mummy's in his closet, he's just like, Listen, you little shit stain, there's no... Oh, let me see if there's monsters. Ooh, there's not any monsters.
Yeah, because it's like...
Fuck you, kid, and then gives him the little hair ruffle.
He gets up to do
like,
it.
Like, oh, I'm just messing
with you. Yeah, and like, as you know, as a parent where I've had to go do that, you know, it's like, oh, motherfuck, it's 3 a.m. And like, and we know there's no monster or anything to be scared of, but you're just like, okay. You go in, you turn all the lights on, you open all the doors, lift the lid on the toy chest, like, are we good now? We're good? Cool, we'll leave this extra light on for you. You know, and
but
I
you
go
don't
back,
do that in front of a
but
kid.
No, but like, the thing is, you just like, and you go back to bed and you lie there and you go, why do I have children? Why does anyone have children? Like, you know, you do that until you fall asleep.
Preserving it for all times when Austin's like 15. Remember what you said in your fucking
oh,
show?
He knows. but, you know, you have that moment at 3 a.m. and you're just like, motherfucker. But at the time, you still go, you know what, it's worth the 30 seconds for them to be able to sleep. These guys are like, look, I'm going to get out of bed. But you're going to know how inconvenient.
Yeah, I'm just
going to
make
every
fun
moment,
of you.
You know, and like the fact that he swings the closet door open, exposing the monster in the closet, but never bothers to look. And then just so the kid is just like, shuts the closet door and is like, peace, I'm out. Leaving the kid to be stalked by the monster. Like, ugh. Yeah, it's funny in its
it
way.
Reminded me of that killer moment in Saturday the 14th where the monster with eye stalks is behind the dad and the kids. Like, there's a. And the monster's like, he's like, oh, okay. There's no monster. And then the monster tries to get off because he didn't tell on the monster.
Yeah.
Wait, the monster tries to get off in the movie?
He's in the little boy's bedroom.
You make me tired a little bit. Look, Mummy came in that kid's he wasn't just hanging out.
But Pete made him leave, though.
God,
Pete's the beagle.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That amazing beagle.
Oh, so the werewolf shows up at that point.
You mean Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite?
Is it?
Yeah. No, I mean Laszlo from Real Genius. That's my connection to that dude.
Huh. I didn't recognize him as anything.
I love that
I've
it's
not
just
seen
like
Real Genius, though.
I love that it's like Uncle Rico. Just, yeah. Like whenever I see him, it's just like I bet when I was 18, I could throw a football over that mountain. just super unrealistic belief system. I could throw a football over that mountain when I was 18. And it's like, you were a wolf man when you were 18 and you know it. You had nards.
He has a great, like, running in and, like, trying to get people to arrest him or whatever. Like, that's actually pretty tough.
I love where he's like, lock me up! And they just gun him down.
Yeah. This is the one, right, that has, like, the plane with the coffin and the monsters in it, yep. Right? And they have that awesome bit where the guy, like, pulls
and
the
another
the
and
valve.
Another connection to UHF. The pilot who goes in the back and pulls the lever on Dracula is the head thug in UHF.
Oh, nice. Hmm.
It's too bad Saturday the 14th didn't have a connection to UHF, and I would have upgraded it from bad to unwatchable.
But I like that moment, though, where you have your dude pulls the lever to, like, drop the cargo hold, and, like, Dracula just stands there like a boss.
Yeah.
And he's like, what
and
you
he
got,
like, undoes his cape, and he's like, I can turn into a bat. Faggot. And then
he turns into a bat with
they're very liberally throwing that around.
They actually did, I thought, some really smart transformations for the Wolfman and for Dracula from, like, bat to Dracula or vice versa, where they'd show you just enough, like, the initial change, where you just see, like, the hand and it's all, like, webby and it's got the thing and then gradually gets to whatever. And then they did a lot where you'd start to see a bit of a thing and then you'd see a silhouette of it and you'd be back to, like, a little bat puppet on a string or whatever, but I thought, like, for their budgetary limitations, like, they managed to make those things still look pretty interesting, and they didn't draw you out of the movie.
Although the transformation to Bat in Saturday the 14th I like a little better. He gets the red glow around him, then it's just kind of an animated shadow turning into Bat.
That's a pretty common way to do that.
His bat wings are on the right way in Saturday the 14th, which is good.
Hmm.
His wings are on backwards in this. It was distracting. They're, like, raked forward like a stealth bomber or something.
The Wolfman is far less, like, lupine than our...
And more Hugh Jackman-y?
Yeah, really. Like, it doesn't
more
think
the,
like...
He's definitely the, like, Michael Landon teenage werewolf.
Yeah, you know, because...
Boris Karloff.
He doesn't have the... Like, at this point, we're so used to, like, the long dog snout on our modern werewolves, and it's just like, oh, this is really, like, a smushed, like, pug of a werewolf.
He's a werebear.
But I do love the Wolfman... And I like that character, like the lumbering around.
He looks
and the
good.
Way
I
him,
like him.
The way he moves about. Talk about fucking slick, though. The creature from the Black Lagoon looks awesome.
That is probably the best looking monster in the whole thing. Like, that's a sweet
creature. Looks
monster.
Good. I mean, Mummy looks like a mummy. The sequence
fine.
In the Mummy that rocks is the tying the bandage to the arrow and
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
And then we get a classic 80s burn with the See You Later Band-Aid breath.
Yep. Super.
And just like, ooh, 80s.
If only it had been like Band-Aid-oid breath.
Right.
Because you can have the breath.
Band-Aid breath?
Yeah.
Frankenstein's Monster was a little meh to me.
I love Tom Noonan as Frankenstein's Monster.
Which he gets like separate billing, yeah, too, in the credits. We're like, and Tom Noonan is Frankenstein's Monster. And I was like, that's
weird. Well, he was, I guess, ultra method. He wouldn't be around the kids unless he was in the makeup.
Interesting.
And, I mean, there's... He does some fucking really good character work. When they give him the mask and he's like, scary. And he's like, oh, man, I feel really bad for him.
Yeah, I like the callback when he finds the little girl by the lake.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, that's a pretty tight Frankenstein callback. The problem I had, too, though, with that was that he's clearly got the huge lifts in his shoes, just like every other actor playing Frankenstein. I always find it odd that they make sure we see the actors wearing huge lifts in their shoes. You know, put those on there so he is taller, but why are we showing that clearly Frankenstein is 6 inches taller than he really is because of his boots? He's like an anime chick.
Well, I know, yeah. I mean, the thing is like, in this, I don't know if it's so much that was their choice so much as everything that had preceded it has shown the character that way. That's just kind of how the character is
now. I've always found that odd.
So I don't know, you know.
I mean, it would make sense if the boots looked like one of them had a bigger lift than the other, because then you could go, oh, he has a leg from a shorter person on one side, so they got to compensate.
That's actually a smart
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
actually. It'd be a bitch to walk in, that was the actor.
But there is just that whole little segment, you're right, where he gets the mask and he's like, oh, haha, that's me. And then, oh, I know what this is for. And then he kind of touches his face. It's like, oh.
Yeah, and then the scary.
But in just one word. Well,
he's
like,
always
he does
been
a
really sympathetic monster.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that really sucks. And then they're all bummed out that because they thought they were showing him something cool. And it's like, look how cool this is. And then he's super sad.
Yeah.
But previous to that, when he's touching the camera and it goes off, bogus. Yeah. Like one of the only words he knows. Anything that's bad is just bogus. Bogus. I taught him to talk, you guys.
There's a little bit of that Terminator 2 kind of hasta la vista.
There is
thing.
A little bit of that, yeah. The kids initially seeing the Frankenstein's monster and, like, all running to hide in the most cartoonish way. Like, I'm going to climb in this trash can in front of the monster and then put the lid on, because then I'll be hidden.
Don't go over there, Sean. Please don't die. Like, he's just going to kill him. And then I like when they go to scary German guy's house and we get another fucking...
That was really great.
We get a fucking deep cut later when it's just like... You sure know a lot about monsters. Yeah, I guess I do. And then close it, and there's the fucking Auschwitz numbers on his arm. Oh, like, Jesus Christ!
That was way sicker and deeper than this movie had to be.
Yeah, it's just like,
yeah, I don't know if that. I don't know if that hits our tone.
In the commentary, they speak on that, and they said that when they were making the movie, they didn't know if they would get the rating for kids that they wanted by putting something that like over
that tonally
kids
heavy.
Like, they're like. We spent weeks worrying about that scene in the movie, and we were really scared that we were going to do something that was going to take us out of our range and really fail the movie. And so it was pretty crazy. But Shane Black convinced us to keep it in the movie, and that it was a really important part. And for adults who see it, it's like it's a really important part. A scary German guy, who's actually an Italian man.
Uh-huh.
I was like, cool, really cool.
I like that moment. I thought that was like surprisingly deft.
Another fun bit of trivia from the beginning, Screech was in this movie originally, and they cut the shot. He is in the school scene right after they get done with the teacher, Screech is selling them comic books.
Huh.
Oh, no shit.
And they cut it. Liam Neeson was almost Dracula, which would have been great.
And
fucking
then they
Dracula chopping throats.
Yeah. Fucking just laying down the law. They'd have to have a whole separate scene where Dracula's in Paris just neck chopping fucking his throats.
I have
all
a particular set of skills. I suck blood. I turn into a bat. I also kill people with chop to the neck.
Take in your lease.
I do like the lead up to creepy German guy, though. It's, my sister speaks German. Your sister doesn't speak German. All she does is hang around and let guys touch her tits.
And again, every opportunity for a joke
tits,
is used in this movie, and they pretty much all land.
I think Rudy's like, I've got to meet your sister.
There's a beautiful little transition, too, with a spit take in here. I don't remember what leads up to the spit take, but like somebody shocks Rudy, he does the spit take, and it cuts to something landing in the lake, a rock landing in the lake, waking up the creature of the Black Lagoon.
I think
it's a beautiful little cut.
I thought it was something about that was the sister's tits part, and he spits or something. We'll have to go back and figure it out. But I know, there's just the spit take that he does. It's pretty awesome. And then
there is some actual like filmmaking on display here.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's a
one of the best 80s montages ever.
Oh, so good. When they decide to go from the Monster Club to the Monster Squad.
Yeah, when they decide that they're going to... And we get that, rock until you drop, dance until your feet fall off. Yeah. It's like just very fucking 80s as fuck.
And again, only in the 80s can you be taking Metal Shop in junior high and make bullets.
Yeah.
He's taking
what
Metal
you
Shop.
Doing, kid? Well,
he's taking like Metal Shop and Wood Shop. Well, he's fucking
a boss, man.
And he's just like, he's sharpening up stakes. After, you know, he's like, I already made my birdhouse. Stakes.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, I guess pre-Columbine, people also, assume this is for extracurricular activities.
And also, 80s, archery is a class at a junior high.
I did archery.
I never had archery.
That would have been 95.
You could have done an MPE. Yeah.
I don't think it was part of gym. Yeah.
We never had archery. If we ever fired anything with a bone arrow, it had like rubber tipped arrows. They weren't like real arrows.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have just the target arrows that just don't have much of a thing on the end, but mm-hmm. we did that for a couple weeks.
But that montage is great. We get all that really fun lead up stuff. Earlier on, I like when his partner is at the museum and he's like, a 2,000-year-old mummy doesn't just get up and walk off. And he's like, did you take him to the security guard? He's like, no, sir, I did not take him. Man, police work is hard. I don't know what we're going to do about this.
That guy is a cock.
I know, but that scene is...
that scene's great.
It was lovely.
But like that dude, he's the guy in the movie that to me like wavers between being a little over the top and also being really hilarious and amazing. Because like every now and then you're like, really, guy? Because he'd laugh a little too long every now and then or something. But like that scene, it was just like, did you do it?
Let me ask you guys something. Is it bad that the only really bad part about the father character to me is that he brought home Burger King, but he didn't get a drink when he was there?
Huh.
And he drinks Sean's Pepsi. Like, I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? You were at Burger King. You got burgers. Why wouldn't you just get like a large pop?
I never get drinks at a fast food place.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't buy fries either. I just buy sandwiches.
I can get why you don't get fries, but like getting a drink, it just seems like something... Unless you have drinks at home, I
yeah,
get
exactly.
it. Like, but it's like, I don't expect going home and then, like, you don't come home and you got your burger and then you see Austin with a pop and you just snatch it out of his hand.
I mean, unless I really want that pop.
Look, you're trying to gauge a good parent. I don't think either of us are going to meet your high standards of not stealing drinks from our kids.
Yeah, it's someday if you have kids, you'll know that you just, no, fuck that, give me a sip of that. Like, I bought everything in this house.
I don't know, just in my mind, the concept of the intention being, I'm going to come home and I'm drink my kid's drink instead of like just getting my own. You had to walk through the house to get the roof. Like, why would he just grab another Pepsi?
It didn't occur to him, you know. Just,
like, yeah, he's going to have a pop.
Probably
I'm going to just assert my male dominance over him and just drink it.
See, after all the movies that we watched this week, I feel pretty good about my fathering skills so far.
Yeah.
I don't come in and like prance around making fun of him when he's having nightmares.
Yeah.
And I don't like blow smoke in his face. I don't argue with his mom.
I guess
like,
I don't do that. I do often because the boy is just the right height. I'll walk by and just grab his face and shove it towards my ass and fart.
That'll prepare him for junior high.
God, I mean, damn it,
well,
man.
He's literally
a small
about
kid.
As tall as my belt. So I just like, hey, Austin. And he's like, Dad. And I'm like, there's only so many years I can do this.
Eventually you'll be able to physically overpower me and then you'll be holding me down.
Exactly. It's, I take advantage of that while I can. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you do things kind of like that sometimes.
So they go to... did you guys notice that the note says someone wants to buy your Van Halen diary?
Yeah.
That's great.
Which is a nice little mom moment. So they go to the scary old house in Shadowbrook Road to get the amulet because Dracula's been like chipping away at it.
Yep.
And they try and get in there, and there's the cheerleaders who've been turned into brides of Dracula.
Right.
Yep.
Draculoid.
Draculoid.
And we get... I don't know why this scene hits really well with me, but I really, really like Uncle Rico spitting out, like, whatever the pills or whatever was in his mouth.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And, like, escaping to the payphone and calls the cop, and he's just like, you gotta get him! I'm a werewolf now! And then he starts changing, and then the whole, he's gonna kill your son! And it's like, whoa! That's, like, that's a really weird, like, I'm a monster, someone needs to fucking stop me. Please, someone come stop all of this shit because I'm not going to be a person much longer.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
That scene I really like. And then they walk into Shadowbrook Road and they're just like, dude, I'm scared. I'm not. Why aren't you scared? And he's just like,
a fucking Frankenstein's monster with us. And my dad's a cop. Anyone mess with us, he kicks their ass.
Which is like, perfect kid logic.
And then Frankenstein is immediately crushulated by some rocks. Which is very sad for him. So they get the amulet and they get outside and scary German guy is there in his like Jeep and there comes Slutty Sister and Rudy and Patrick and it's like the cavalry is here. It's like that is not a very dope cavalry guy.
No.
I mean, like that Rudy he says like he just like thank Jesus the cavalry's here instead of cavalry.
Yeah.
I love that little bit.
I do like the fact that they're like, okay, we need to we need a virgin to read this book, whatever. You're a virgin, right? Well, tell the whole world, why don't you? And it's like, just shut up. Come on.
And then by the end of it, well, there was Steve, but he doesn't count.
And like, doesn't count! That part's so such a great reaction. It's like, you can't apply your fucking rule system to this. It's a yes or a no.
What that made me think of then is the complexity with which people treat whether or not they're a virgin anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, so what if she just given a blowjob or anal or hand jobs? Like, the gray area that people now ascribe to the word virgin makes that movie far more difficult to find a
virgin. Yeah, I know people who are like, he just put the tip in and he didn't thrust, so I'm still a virgin. Like, for one, that is a shitty thing to do to a guy. Don't you ever do that.
It's also a shitty thing to do to a girl.
Well, at that point, I figure the girl is calling the shots because she's like,
you'd assume
you can put the tip in, but you can't move or I'm not a virgin anymore. Like,
oh, God.
It is like the length of thrust is now an issue?
Yeah, the minutiae of the semantics of virginity is baffling to me. I'm glad I grew up in a time where it was just like insert, thrust, repeat. Like, that was enough for me.
Cleared.
The weird thing is that it has to be a girl. Because presumably any of those kids could have read it.
Yeah, that's also true. Maybe not.
Rudy's probably against it.
He's probably hooking up on the reg with someone's hot mom.
Yeah, I like that. Probably with Sean's mom. That's why dad and mom are arguing because Rudy is in their bank.
I'm amazed that there were any children born in the late 70s and early 80s because like the hairstyles and makeup on the women are just so fucking hideous.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shrill and pleasant mom. Like,
It was the 80s style bikinis that was what made all the babies.
Oh, that's what happened.
I think that's what did it.
After the babies then came the high cut, giant feathered hair. Because
feathered hair and shoulder pads. That's
like, as old as I am now, which is pretty fucking old, I will look at a woman who's 30 and go, oh, that's about what women look like. And I think of them as like a peer, on an infinite plane, like a sex partner. But the 80s women that are in these mother roles are like my age, but they still come across as a mom.
They come across as very matronly.
Yeah, just like, I'm not like even putting the tip in there and not thrusting.
I like that we get Mummy came in my house going, is she a virgin?
Yeah.
Just like, love it. I love that he's very helpful, but he doesn't know any of the what's actually going on. He's just like there to bring Pete to the shots.
I like that the 5-year-old girl is better at the German than the sister who is taking German class. Because she just like listens to what he says and repeats it word for word.
Whereas like the sister's trying to like use her knowledge, which is incomplete and faulty.
And I like the bride show up and Rudy just goes and represents. Yeah. He gets way too close for a bow and arrow, though.
I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?
I love that.
That
like,
was
I'm in the goddamn club. Lights him up. And then
things that you don't see in movies anymore. 13-year-old lights his cigarette, steps off with his bow and arrow, and says, "I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?"
And again, like these movies are.
And proceeds to murder three girls. Yeah. Well, former girls.
Now I regret saying it was wish fulfillment.
I like that. I like that. Papa Cop flies into the scene, shoots Draculoid bat, and he fucking flies in the window and he lands in the Adidas boxes and he's just like, oh, fuck!
I really like the way he looks as half bat. That cool effect.
Oh, dude, you never leave a man at half bat.
It's just bad form. It's not cricket.
Somewhere between a strike and a ball is half bat.
Horror show hot dogs tips for young ladies who are about to have sex. Don't do just the tip and never leave a man at half bat.
We're the Marines, son. We never leave a man at half bat. So at that point, Wolfman, who has been established as a human...
Hugh Jackman.
Well, as a human out of control and an ally, gets the like dynamite down the pants and out the window... and explodes into bloody and chunks.
Hey, asshole. I had forgotten you looked.
I had forgotten that he was coming back. So it was just like, oh, dude.
I have never seen a werewolf for Constitution before. That's nowhere in anything
else. Monster Squad is the first time I ever saw a werewolf. So, like, that has just been part of my werewolf knowledge. Like, yeah, a werewolf can just pull itself together T-1000 style.
Which I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, I went the other way because sometimes Adam will just stop somebody in mid-sentence.
Oh, good, good, good.
I'd never seen the werewolf-free Constitution, and I just pictured a bunch of werewolves in powdered wigs. Yes. It's like, awesome. You need to sign the werewolf-free Constitution so the king of werewolves knows that we're breaking free. Like, oh, yes!
This they is will a be oppressed no movie. More.
They sign that at the werewolf bar mitzvah. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
Spooky scary. I love you, 30 Rock. So he gets dynamited.
Which, again, that's the best callback.
And the best part is he comes back, and Rudy gets not only does Rudy get the one badass moment of being in the goddamn club, he fucking lights him up, and he says, bang, Deadpool style,
yeah.
And kills him. Told you.
I was like, wow, Rudy's going to grow up to be a serial killer now.
Yeah. Told you, only one way to kill a werewolf.
Bitch.
That's all I needed was, like, one last something, some pejorative on the end to fucking light him up.
Yeah, penisoid.
Yeah.
I do like that kid, though, does a decent job at looking a little bit shell-shocked and maybe freaked out when he turns back into a human and says, thank you, and dies. And he's like, whoa.
Oh. I did actually, like,
that was a human
the gravity of, like, I shot a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Once a man.
Once a man.
Once a man.
We shot the werewolf once a man. I really hope everybody has listened to every episode. Otherwise, there's so many fucking jokes that don't make a goddamn bit of sense.
I want our audience to weigh on this, but I think this is probably the most fun that we've ever had talking about a movie.
It's right up there, yeah. If not the best.
So we get a bit of trivia right here.
Mm, lay it on me.
So Phoebe, you know, has thrown. She's done the. They've thrown the amulet, and the limbo has started.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, the amulet
the limbo has started.
The limbo has not started yet.
Oh, sorry.
Draculum picks up. Fucking
Draculum? Were you mining for Draculum?
I'm gonna keep switching what his actual name is.
Look, there's only one of them, so it's Draculum. If there's two, they're Dracula.
Draculi, yeah. Okay. Dracula.
So he picks up Phoebe, and we get in the trivia. Duncan Rieger, who plays Dracula, was really mindful of how scared Alyssa Bank was of him. So he never wanted to be around her in his full, like, fangs and red eyes, because he scared her really bad with it. So Fred Decker, using this to his fucking advantage, in the scene where the
like
platform...
Like every great 80s director.
Yeah, where the platform lifts her up, and he has her up in the air, and he's like, give me the amulet, you bitch! Before he opens his eyes, they're telling her, like, okay, so the platform's gonna lift you up. He's going to say something and you're going to scream. And she's like, well, when will I know to scream? And his response is, oh, you'll know. It's on the commentary. And they're talking about it and then lifts her up and opens his eyes, red contacts and fangs, and roars at her. And the scream that they got from her is her terrified of how scared she is of him. And they only did it once because the actor, Duncan Rieger, was like, I won't do it twice. That's really, really. She's very scared to begin with.
Right.
We can get it in one if she's that scared. I want to do it again.
Yeah.
So then that's. I was like, no wonder that scream's so fucking believable because she's terrified. And then we get the most amazing bogus of all time because after he scares her, then the fucking vice-like grip of Frankenstein comes on Draculoid's shoulder and goes. Bogus! And just fucking lights him up with a big uppercut and sends his ass flying. I've always loved that. Just like, good on you, Frankenstein monster.
That was bogus.
Yeah, he is bogus. Get him the fuck out of here.
The extended cut is he actually does the same thing to the director right after.
Bogus. Blast his ass too.
I mean, it's okay. She's only going to be traumatized for life, but we got the shot. It's the
kids are resilient. They bounce back.
So we get the end. Everyone's getting sucked into limbo. Limbo has now started. And so there's all sorts of shit flying around. We get sucked into the portal. And Sean is getting pulled in by Dracula. And to keep going. And out of nowhere, Van Helsing shows up and fucking pulls Dracula in. And what does he do? He 80s's him. He hits him with the monster thumbs up. And I'm just like, woo! Van Helsing knows, and fucking Sean hits him back. The full 80s synergy has happened. There's fucking a portal of energy between Van Helsing's ghost and Sean as they fucking link up thumbs up style and sucks him into the portal. And then we get the sad moment of Frankenstein being pulled in the portal. And he's like, bye, don't go, Frankenstein. And just like, Phoebe is clearly the best actor in the whole movie. Yeah, this little 5-year-old
she's
girl.
She's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. And then just like throwing him scraps as he goes into the portal. And it's like, bye bye, Frankenstein. And then the army shows up.
Yeah, with tanks and shit.
Where are these monsters? Who can tell us what's going on? Mommy came in my house.
I love that they're like, great kid.
Yeah.
And they just kind of look at you like, the fuck are we supposed to
the
do?
Two, the two lines that he has are just lovely. Mommy came in my house. And Creature took my Twinkie.
Yeah.
That's in like...
And Dingo ate my baby.
Yeah. And then it's like, we're the Monster Squad. And then he hands him a shitty business card.
Yeah.
I like that they had to have the business cards being cut in the montage solely for that one scene at the end where they hand the cards off.
But that is like, Shane Black is good at those little moments that ring true. Because that... We made business cards dozens of times.
Oh, yeah. You'd have little membership cards for your clubs and shit.
The last one that I made was... Panty Inspector General.
Wow.
Because that's how I was when I was 14, and I'm totally not that way anymore.
As he shows us his Panty Inspector General card.
I just watched that.
I should have laminated
just
that.
Just like
shit.
Gold Star members.
That one was, like, we found a business card machine at Northern Arizona University, and as we were visiting our friends, and they're in the mess hall, there was a business card creating machine. We're like, what can we make? Oh, dude, we can make Bureau of Panty Inspection cards with our names on it, and fucking of course the girls are going to show us their panties because I mean
because that's how boy
why
works.
Wouldn't they? We actually had a couple of people pull up the like waistband, so that kind of worked.
Yeah,
but they were in Boston. Shit,
I've been watching Kids in the Hall on Netflix, and I just got to the one where Bruce is standing there and he's got the bikini inspector shirt on, and he's like, "I'm a bikini inspector. That's what I do. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not a glamorous life. It doesn't pay very well, but, you know, someone's got to make sure that these products ship and they're of good quality." And I was at the beach the other day and saw some other guy with a bikini inspector shirt. So, of course, I walk over to talk a little shop and he has no idea what I'm talking about. What the fuck?
And that super dry Bruce McCullough style.
Yeah, just the most deadpan. And then he's just like, I don't know. I've been thinking I need to get out of this racket anyway. So it's going to be the... I think I'm going to go work for the forestry department and be a beaver hunter. Like, oh, man, that's
By the way, Ashley Bang?
Looking pretty good.
Grew up just fine.
I think she's actually doing horror movies again now, because they're talking about that on the commentary on Ze Blu-ray.
Ze Blu-ray?
Ze Blu-ray. Draculum.
I think that's something that's always kind of cool to me about many, I wouldn't say all, many horror actors, is that if you've done one that was like a cult classic at least...
Yeah, you're
you get
you're
to
in,
pop
you're
up in other ones. You're part of the group. You can do the convention. You can hang out at Fango, you know, and you'll be brought in for even just that 5-minute scene if you're Tony Todd and Hatchet or something. Just because they're like, it'll be good for people to see you. They'll be like, ooh, when they're watching the whatever movie.
And then they'll talk about how much they love Monster Squad.
Yeah,
for 5
you know,
minutes.
And then yeah, but you get to like have those little bit parts, if not bigger parts, in horror movies, kind of forever. And you know, so fuck it, mortgages due. Guess I'll go do that 3-page bit from that movie.
Yeah,
I feel like after how much we love Monster Squad, we should ask our fans to come up with a list of 5 scenes or lines from the movie that I can turn into prints to put on the Society 6 thing. Because now I've decided that since we are in fact going to do a Horror Show Hot Dog short, that any of the money we make on selling any merchandise of any kind should go into funding the movie we make.
I'm down for that.
So. Come up with an idea for a Monster Squad thing. I'm going to make one anyways, and it would be helpful if you guys come up with something.
Yeah.
If you don't,
I don't know. Your sister doesn't speak German. All she does is hang around and let guys touch her tits. It's kind of long.
Yeah.
It's a little wordy.
Well, I mean, that
t-shirt.
Could just be, you know, like an anagram type thing. Just like a bunch of, like, just a pictogram of, like, all of those things. Top seller on Society 6. It's like German bra shirt. And it's like, no, that's a Monster Squad shirt, man. You can't do that. So this movie has amazing music in it, though. Like, that montage song
right.
stuck in my head for a whole day after.
I could do without the end credit where
like pseudo rap.
Yep, we have to rap because we're getting into that era.
Late '80s. Yeah,
and our understanding of rap is that you just write lyrics that you would write to a regular song and then just deliver them with awkward pauses so they fit.
And then, then it comes down a Draculum and then a creature from a black lagoon too. And it's like
Well, it's like the fucking the Ninja Turtles movie had the that whole rap like.
You're like, that shit doesn't rhyme. What are you, Macklemore?
Yeah.
Nothing but love for Macklemore, but we like, agree that he very rarely rhymes, right?
That man signs checks for me, all right? I can't just be slandering people who employ me on my
called,
show.
Checklemores when he signs and Ryan
actually,
Lewis.
I refer to them as Mackle checks when they show up. I had to make them. They had this tour thing where they show where their tour is going, that classic like bus driving around the U.S. thing that I made. To show in a documentary, and Mara's like, what are you working on today? I was like, I'm working on my Macklemore. And I sat there hysterically laughing at my stupid-ass joke.
I was like, you're working with...
I'm a genius!
Did you say you're working with Robert Mapplethorpe? No.
Oh, can I punish you guys with a pun that I heard at the Warped Tour?
No, please.
I went and saw MC Lars, and he's like, hey, you guys want to hear a joke I made up today? And everybody, of course, is just staring at him blankly. And he goes, why couldn't the Minnesotan buy small fruit? Because the store was Minneapolis. Cricket, they all just kind of look at him.
And they're like, wow, I haven't seen a tumbleweed in a long time. I think that tumbleweed is covered in crickets. Like chirping as like the tumbleweed blows by.
Yeah, that was that happened last Sunday. And I watched that happen and I went, I'm going to share that with everyone I know because that's one of those earworm things that, like, Lewis Black talked about where someday when I have an aneurysm movie because I heard that joke and it's just been digging around in my brain.
Oh, man. So how do you guys feel about it? Do we have anything else left to say? Or
you know, I think having watched it again, it is super awesome. I do think that it could be remade. Like, there are some movies where you just go, nope, that is perfect. It, you know, changed nothing ever. I think that this is a great artifact of the time, but I think that it could be updated in a responsible way, but still totally awesome. And I would give it a probably an 8.5 out of 10 jerkoids.
I don't know. I think it'd be fun to see a little bit upgraded version of this movie, but I would fear that they would never get the same tone because we don't make kids movies with the attitude that 80s kids movies have anymore. Because like, what was the like Super 8? Is probably the closest we've gotten to like an 80s kids movie in recent years, and it still doesn't exactly have that feel of like these kids can just fuck off and do whatever they want. They're just completely untethered from adults for vast stretches of time. I'd be curious to see what would happen, but I, like I said, I had not seen this movie before this week, and I fucking loved it. So yeah, I'll go with a 8.5 out of 10 with something funny.
Fair enough. One last thing before I jump into the score, because it just came into my head, then Mummy Came in My House, which is right now the clear winner on what I want to design. But we forgot to talk about Horace's hero moment.
Oh, yeah.
We have to talk about Fat Kid getting his moment.
Where he gets the They Call Me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, fucking. He pulls the creatures crushing heads, and Horace is caught in the crossfire, and he grabs the shotgun out of the dead guy's hands. But he wants to get into the shop to hide. He doesn't know if he want to kill anything.
You're right.
And EJ and the fake newscaster douchebag kid, and they're being just a couple of giant pussies, won't let him in. So Horace, as a last stand, lets one rip and blows the creature from the Black Lagoon's chest open and kills him.
Yep.
And then they come outside and they go, whoa, fat kid, good job. My name is Horace. Just like, yes!
Like a boss.
And I was like, that is awesome. Good job, fat kid.
That's pretty good.
Just, so, my rating on it, I have always loved this movie. It's one of my favorites from when I was a kid. And I think it's an amazing double bill with Gremlins, The New Batch. I think that's...
I think they played off each other.
With the exception of Saturday the 14th.
With Saturday the 14th being the banana in that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Move on.
Other than Saturday the 14th, Josh picked a real winner of a week, so we'll let it...
It was a strong week.
We'll excuse him big time for Saturday the 14th.
See, I'm fine with us having one shitty movie each week that we just don't like much. That makes it a little more interesting
for
me.
See, I feel like you guys should have to, like, in the middle of the day when you're not fucking sleepy, watch the 75-minute cut and enjoy this movie like you should.
Maybe...
I feel like you did it wrong.
Someday I will try that.
For our 80th episode... We'll just revisit all of the
80th episode. You know, the anniversary celebrated by people that around
classic,
the world.
That, yep. Yeah, that classic 80th anniversary episode.
That's the, TV like, cubic zirconium.
Yeah.
Yeah. For our 75th episode, we'll just watch the final and Saturday the 14th.
And Troll.
And Troll. Well, Troll didn't have the rage factor, though. We'll figure it out.
All right. Well,
so what's your number on that?
Yeah. I would say 8.5 out of 10 sets of Wolfman Nards.
Wolfman
Nards. Awesome. So that's like a 16 out of 17 out
it's
of 10?
It's a 17 out of 10.
Awesome. All right. We'll be back in just a minute. All right. So for next week, we have people who go on our website and leave us comments, which if you don't do that, that
letters.
Is a thing you should do.
Leave
if you
letters.
If you do that, you should continue to do it.
Yes.
If you do that, you should do your duty and continue to do it.
And do-do.
And this set of suggestions comes from a fellow by the name of Quine, or possibly Quine, or if he's Spanish.
Quinn. Ooh, quinoa.
It was Q-U-I-N-E. I wouldn't feel it. That was Quinn.
You wouldn't or think, but we don't know.
Quine.
You know, ball players Queen. Have strange names these days.
Get Queen your Dante up here.
Queen A says that he just listened to the Quentin Tarantino and Edgar Wright commentary track on Hot Fuzz, and during it, Tarantino says his three favorite horror movies about ventriloquist dummies are Dead of Night, Devil Doll, and Magic. So Quine A suggests that we watch those, and so does Ian Ziering, so that's what we're going to do next week.
Yep, because we are fully willing to let you guys do the work.
Yeah, you want to pick movies for us to watch. It's a load off our backs to not
have... You know, and we do get single recommendations of just a random movie are fine, too. Every now and then we'll work one of those in. But if it's a trio of movies, especially if they're thematically linked, that there's a pretty good shot that we'll want to do that if we haven't thought of something already, because that saves us having to think of something.
Word.
So, yeah, right. We're going to find out if these are worth a shit or if it's just the usual Quentin Tarantino bullshit.
Or if this is just a pile of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, is it just, shit or is it the shit?
We just gave people a really great way to fuck with us by just picking three awful
hey,
movies.
Hey, that's, you know, that's just how it works.
Even then again, theoretically, fine, if you're suggesting movies, you're listening to this, so you're setting yourself up for a pretty boring episode if you do.
You like eating shit, then. Shit eaters.
Shitoid shit breast.
Shitoid.
Not born. Ooh. Shit into existence.
Nice gold
so
guy.
You can hit us up on horrorshowhotdog.com. There's comment... there are comments at the bottom of every episode, and you can throw in there, or you can go to facebook.com/horrordog or at @HSHDpodcast, or if you're on Reddit, you can check the subreddit HSHD, thanks to Adam, who is the boss. And
I click the button.
If you can't get enough of Adam, you can find him on...
Oh, you can find my subreddits for both my shows at LAAB, which is the Lights in the Backdrop subreddit. And my other show, Let's Get Lyrical, at the subreddit LGL. Also, if you want to buy any of the horror-themed shirts from our podcast, all the proceeds will be going to our short film. That's just go to...
Piranha Cuda.
If you look at... Yeah, if you to our film Piranha Cuda, on the right-hand side of our webpage, there is a little picture of, I believe, the Werehorn Unicat shirt. You can click that, and it'll take you there. And you can buy some shit. You shit eater.
The shit.
Adam is terrible at marketing.
Just like, you insulted them.
Oh, they'll buy.
They'll buy.
They know what's good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. They know what's best.
So those are all of our ways to reach out to us. The pod or the Twitter is handled entirely by me, so you won't be speaking to the show. You'll be speaking to the broest part of the show.
Yeah.
You'll be preaching to the choir.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, of all of us, you're the choir. Let's get it straight. Adam is the wrestling, I'm the choir, and Matt's extracurricular is sitting outside smoking on the bleachers.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, good. So watch along with us if you like. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bogus.